The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And it's Friday, May 7th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning in the news this morning. Just in time for Mother's Day weekend, Philadelphia restaurants have the green light to expand their indoor capacity and increase table size. It's a great boost, but there's still a little sting since the rest of the state is heading for a full reopening in just a matter of weeks. The city moved at its own pace on lifting restrictions during the entire pandemic, partly because officials say more people are physically closer to each other within the city. Starting Friday, May 7th, all restaurants in the city will move to 50% capacity, up from 25%, and 75% for those who meet the city's enhanced ventilation guidelines, which is up from 50%.
Is Mother's Day the biggest day for restaurants?
Yeah, one of them, right?
Yeah, because you're
Mother's Day brunch.
Yeah, take you out, you don't need to cook, yeah.
Indoor table sizes can move to 6 people, and they don't have to be from the same household. There still needs to be a minimum of 6-foot distance from chair back to chair back. Restaurants can now also seat 10 people at tables outdoors, which is also the state limit. Indoor catered events, such as weddings and proms, will be allowed again, but city officials still consider them to be high risk. For now, only 25% occupancy is allowed, with a cap of no more than 75 people indoors. But that number could go up to 150 beginning Friday, May 21st, if positive cases continue to fall. Other outdoor gatherings and events are able to increase to 25% normal capacity, and outdoor gatherings and events can increase to a maximum capacity of 50%. To help bring in more business, restaurants in Philadelphia which have outdoor dining permits will soon be able to apply for a city permit to provide outdoor entertainment. Leaders believe this is crucial since the city lost more than 200 full-service restaurants, 50 of them which have closed permanently.
God, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a lot. Rowan University will require students to get the COVID-19 vaccine, but there's a cash incentive being offered. Full-time students who show proof of vaccination before July 31st will get a $500 credit on tuition. Those students who live on campus will get another $500 to their housing bill. Rowan is also working on a plan to offer employees incentives to roll up their sleeves as well. Our message today is simple. We believe the path to normalcy is through widespread vaccination, and we want our entire community to commit to reaching the goal of widespread vaccination. If we work together, we can reach the goal and offer the Rowan University experience that our students and employees deserve, said Rowan University President Ali Hauschmand. Rowan is just one of a handful of colleges and universities in the region that are requiring students be vaccinated for the fall semester.
I saw that Wawa is offering up vaccination incentives too, so they are looking to hire, and one of the reasons or one of the offers that they have if you get hired there is that they will help provide a vaccination if you seek one.
A friend of mine works for a company that is doing all the scheduling for them. So they literally will just get an email that says, here's your day and time if you want to get a vaccination.
That's cool.
The summer travel season is expected to pick up this year as more people look to get away after more than a year of coronavirus restrictions. For those who haven't traveled since before the pandemic, things will look different, especially if you're flying. The TSA says it is seeing about half of the travelers that it saw in 2019 before the pandemic, but the numbers are increasing. As you head to the airport, keep in mind masks are still required, but you can expect the boarding process to be cleaner and there will be less contact with airport staff than you may remember.
We had the conversation about people who don't unpack their bags immediately after a trip. You got to figure, a lot of those bags have been sitting around for a year. You know, people just
A bag still sitting around from your last trip.
Could you imagine what you would find in that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Travel experts say we are set to see a travel boom as COVID-19 cases decrease, more people get vaccinated, and states begin easing restrictions.
I'm flying today.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, my mother fell a couple of weeks ago and broke a couple of ribs, and so I'm going to visit. We've all been vaccinated. We're all set. I'm ready to travel.
Can you see her? I mean, will they?
Well,
that was an issue.
So, yes, I can see her, but it's going to be very sterile because she's in a rehab facility.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of elderly people there, and they're still being very, very cautious. So I got to wear an N95 and a gown. I got to stay 6 feet away and this whole thing, but I can see her.
All right.
That's going to help raise her spirit. She's recovering well. This is her second bout with this. Is another set of broken ribs she has. So anyway,
it's multiple ribs.
I probably wouldn't be ready to travel yet, but yeah. I got to get down there.
So
I'm making the trip.
Is this the first time you've been?
Oh yeah.
On a plane? Okay.
Yes, since COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see how it'll go.
TSA workers at Philadelphia International Airport. Then this story is for you,
Chris. Yeah, there you go. Yes.
TSA workers at the Philadelphia International Airport say they are ready for the crowds, but want passengers to know that there will be some changes at the checkpoint. Most importantly, you must be wearing a mask. If you don't have a mask, you will be asked to put one on. If you don't have one, you will be given one if they are available. The bottom line is you won't be allowed to go through the screening process without a mask on. Travelers will also be asked to remain socially distant. TSA officers will be wearing masks and gloves and standing behind safety barriers. The TSA bins are a hot spot for germs, and to reduce your contact with them, travelers are being asked to place everything from their pockets into a carry-on. The flight experience will now be more sanitary with routine cleanings of frequently touched surfaces. AAA says travel across the board is increasing, in particular travel within the United States. The agency says many families are booking trips to amusement parks, national parks, and taking camping trips.
So if they can't be that, I assume they can be somewhat thorough during the TSA check. Do they ask you to pinky swear that you don't have a weapon on?
Pinky swear.
Yeah. Well, like they, so, you know, they used to kind of like stand, like they'd wave you through and all that.
Right,
so they're
right,
behind
right.
these barriers now. And they still will pull, you know, randomly pull people and you'll, you know, get a more in-depth search or whatever. They're still doing that kind of stuff, but there's a little bit of distance between
them. I saw an interesting story, and I don't know if we'll have time to get to it later on, but they're flirting with the idea. They're kind of test marketing with the TSA, essentially putting in a reservation of sorts of when you go through the security check to save you that gigantic line.
I'd be down with that.
Which is always,
it's
mystery.
It's the worst.
When getting to the airport, the big mystery is, what's it going to be
how
like
long?
At security?
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why being Pierre Robert has got to be, I mean, come on, man.
Pierre had an exact appointed time, he could be late for that.
Yeah, right, well, that's what I'm thinking. It's now you have something else to be late for that's going to back up everybody else.
Oh, my God.
We always get to the airport at least an hour and a half to 2 hours before our flight time. Because I've shown up and seen the line and gone, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's when you say, I have to tell this person that I'm flying. I'm the only one in the airport who's told this person.
Well, I flew, and it was, at least when I went in March, and it was not bad.
I'm sure it's not bad at all right now.
The flight was very crowded, but I think it's because there's less flights. So, you know, when you're actually sitting on the plane, there was, like, not one open seat. So there's no distance there, but, yeah, going through, there was a little bit of a line. I have the pre-check. There was nobody in that line.
Miss Romano, right this way.
No, but that, like,
broadcaster coming.
If you are worried about lines, that's the best thing I ever did.
How much does that cost?
Oh my God, it was like nothing.
It's like $80.
Yeah, I heard, yeah. And I mean, I've had it for years.
I'm gonna do it.
I have the global entry, so I can get that if you fly internationally.
Listen, if you had the time, become an FBI agent because you'll be able to get special access that other people won't be able
to get. No, I'm telling you, it was so easy, and it's like, it's so quick now.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll
wait in
those
lines.
She's glued.
Shut the hell up.
My dad flew last week, and then this week he went out to Colorado and back, and he banged up his knee a couple of weeks ago, and so he has trouble getting around, and so my mom arranged for a wheelchair to come pick him up.
Yeah.
And he kind of balked at it. I think he had a little bit of sense of pride or whatever. He'd want to do it. And my mom insisted. And afterwards, I talked to him. He's like, your mother is a genius.
He'll never travel the same way again.
I have a toothache.
A little woozy on my medicine.
Remember when I was in the wheelchair at the airport? We were going to spring training.
Yeah.
Why were you in a... I forget why.
Because remember, sprained my ankle working out, and I woke up and couldn't walk. I had a stupid boot on. It was terrible. Wheelchair
Kathy comes by like some senior citizen. Are you doing well, dear?
And who went on... Casey, did you go on the plane with me? Because we got to pre-board.
I don't remember.
It was either you or Nick. I forget.
Me.
So, yeah, that'll get you on quicker. Yep. All right, let's do sports this morning. Zach Wheeler struck out eight and tossed a three-hit shutout, and Alex Bohm hit a home run to lead the Phillies to a 2-0 win and a four-game sweep of the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday afternoon at the ballpark.
They did it!
Wheeler threw his second career shutout and complete game in 144 starts and first since 2014 when he played for the Mets. The Phils now head out for a nine-game road trip in the in first place and the only team in the National League East with a winning record. Zach Eflin will get the start tonight as the Phils open up a weekend series in Atlanta against the Braves. The first pitch is scheduled for 7:20. The Sixers, who won six games in a row and are in first place in the Eastern Conference, are back home tonight with a game against the Pelicans. With a little more than a week left in the regular season, the Sixers are 2.5 games in front of the Brooklyn Nets, who have lost 4 in a row, including last night against Dallas. Tip-off for tonight's game in South Philly is scheduled for 7 o'clock. And finally, the Flyers, who have only 3 games left in the regular season, play the first back-to-back games against the Capitals in Washington tonight. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock, and the game will be broadcast on WMMR. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I'm looking at our docket today. We're loaded. We got lots of stuff for you this morning. Number one, $500 twice. It's the Money Clip Contest we have this week, next week, and then we're done for this one. So make sure you don't miss all of your opportunities. We'll give away our Word of the Week prize, big package from the Revivalist Spirits crew. Guest-wise, we are going to have actor Holt McAlany. How do you say his last name? McAlany, I am assuming is how you say
it. Yeah.
It's a tough one. McAlany. It's Holt McAlany. Great actor. Loved him on Mindhunter, but Wrath of Man is what he's promoting, and that's in theaters today. So we'll talk to Holt later on this morning. Comedian Chappelle Lacey is going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club this weekend, so we'll spend some time with him. And as we get ready for the on sale of MMRBQ tickets, 10 a.m. today.
Yeah.
And at that very time, at 10 a.m. when the tickets go on sale, we're talking to Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction.
That's great.
He's headlining.
It's so
the
cool.
Show.
Yeah.
So, very much looking forward to the concert and all the things that come along with it. So listen up for the interviews and goodies today and this weekend, because there's an MMRBQ weekend taking place. And also, if you are an MMR VIP, if you opt in for the emails, you might win some tickets that way, too. Speaking of tickets, we are going to give away this morning in preparation for Eggs with Peg at Keenan's, the special party that's going on this year. We will give away a 4-pack of tickets because it is a ticketed event this year because of the numbers that they have to strictly adhere to. It's a ticketed event, and we will have a 4-pack to give away at some point this morning. So it's going to be Friday, May 28th. Brent Porsche will be there on site. He's going to be checking in with us. We'll drop in virtually to say hi to the gang down there, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, on the way to getting back to normal.
Exactly. So listen up for your chance to win that, and I'm sure we have some other things that we'll probably give away, too. So let's take a break, come back in a moment, and we'll get into the entertainment report. A stupid question to kick that off with some giveaways. Beautiful sunrise as we start our Friday together. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a $150 Fogo to Show gift card. So not only MMRBQ tickets going on sale this morning, but also Genesis tickets are going on sale. That's at noon. And so I got this email from Ken Smeltzer, and he recommended a stupid question this morning that has to do with Genesis. So I thought this is great. So thank you, Ken. I appreciate this.
Let's see if I can get it.
This is a good one. The song Tonight, Tonight, Tonight was used for the marketing campaign of what beer company in the 1980s?
Remember.
And what brand, okay? Not the brewery, but this is one of their brands, all right? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer, because I did not know this one. I remember it now that I saw the answer, but let's see if you got it. 215-263-WMMR. Do you have an answer, Steve?
I don't.
Okay.
I remember the commercial, but I don't remember the brand of beer.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go through the birthdays today. Friday, May 7th, Tracy Lords, the actress, the porn star, ex-porn star, underage porn star, and that's why all her stuff had to be... It was technically child pornography. She was like 16, 17 years old.
We interviewed her one time.
Yeah.
So there's all that stuff that's
pertaining to that is complex and weird, but the truth of the matter is she actually acted in a couple of things and she was very good in them.
Yeah.
And I watched the original movie Blade over the weekend, Preston.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, and she's in the beginning sequence and she's a vampire and she's really good.
She was in Tommyknockers and Crybaby.
Crybaby, yeah.
A few things. Yeah, she's 53 today. Amy Heckerling, who brought us, directed Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
That was my skull.
There you go.
So good.
And Clueless as well.
Oh, yeah.
She is 67 today. And speaking of Clueless, it's also Breckin Meyer's birthday.
Your best buddy, Words with Friends, Case.
Who was in that movie, yep.
Yeah, we haven't played in a while. Yeah. And he just went away.
Has he fallen off the radar?
Well, he's falling off the Words with Friends radar.
All right.
Yeah.
Road Trip was a great movie that he was in, and he is 47 years old. He's very short.
He is very short.
I've seen him.
But he's very charismatic.
He's great.
Yeah.
I love the guy.
I saw him on an episode of The Wonder Years. So The Wonder Years is now streaming on, like, Netflix or whatever.
Okay, cool.
And so I went back and I watched it, and there was this one episode where they're, I guess they're drinking beer in a cave. It's in, like, one of the first two or three episodes. And I was like, hang on a second. That's child Breckin Meyer right
yeah,
there.
Nice. Yes, and he's not much taller.
Last birthday I saw is an actor named Alexander Ludwig. I had to look him up. He's on the show Vikings, and in the Hunger Games, he played like the alpha male from District 1, the really tough, badass guy. Lone Survivor as well. He is 29 years old today. Those are the only birthdays that I stumbled across.
Kind of thin, but every one of them a stellar entertainer.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. The song Tonight, Tonight, Tonight was used for the marketing campaign of what beer company in the 1980s? And I will go to Nancy to see if she knows the answer. Hey, Nancy.
Good morning.
Good morning. So do you know what the beer company was that Tonight, Tonight, Tonight was used for in the marketing campaign?
That would be Michelob.
You are correct. Michelob is correct. Hang on the line, Nancy. Get your information, and we will give you a $150 Fogo to Show gift card. You can try the new bone-in ribeye, a premium cut included as part of a Fogo full churrasco service. And welcome to What's Next at Fogo to Show. Make reservations for Fogo in Center City and King of Prussia at Fogo.com. Do they even make Michelob anymore?
I think they do.
Oh, what,
When I was in my early 20s.
Yeah, there's Mick Ultra.
I know there's Mick Ultra.
Yeah.
But in my younger 20s, when we wanted to splurge,
Michelob was your...
We wanted to buy the good stuff. Yeah, because it was more expensive.
Yeah. It has a fancy-looking bottle, too.
It was their premiere. It was Anheuser-Busch. I grew up in St. Louis, so we drank Anheuser-Busch products because the brewery's right there. And so that was your premium beer to get.
Mother drank two beers, Michelob, and I think it was Pabst.
Okay. Pabst Blue
Ribbon. Pabst would win the gold medal at the
Great American Beer Festival
every year.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, I'll do some research a little bit later on. Yeah, it looks like they make a few different ones, but I don't think they make the straight up Michelob.
That's wild.
They make it, but I think they just market all the other ones a lot more.
Okay. All right. So a TikTok user has gone viral for posting a message from a celebrity match on Raya, which is this celebrity dating site.
Yes.
And there was one that happened earlier in the week. We didn't get a chance to play the audio. I'm going to play some of it from that. And this originally, the Ben Affleck one that we're going to play, was a woman named Naveen Jay gained notoriety for posting a video of Affleck, who was asking why he or she had not responded or something along those lines.
Sure.
And this was, I think, just to prove that it was actually him.
She passed thinking of, so, but it is a celebrity site. People have to be sort of vetted a little bit before they go on to it. But he made the inquiry, and she, passed on him, and he's basically saying, no, it really was me.
Yeah, here we go.
Naveen, why did you unmatch me? It's me.
Oh,
and
wow.
It really is him. You see the video of him. So now there's one with Matthew Perry.
Yes.
So this 20-year-old girl, Kate Harrelson, shared a clip. Let's play this first. I've not heard this. I have no idea what the context is. Here we go.
Do you always play with your hair this much?
I guess so, yeah.
All right, so,
yeah.
I guess so,
I guess I know.
Hang on. Hang on.
Dude,
let's hear that again.
Do you always play with your hair this much?
I guess so, yeah.
You're about to party from the show.
Okay. So look, now we'll discuss here in a second.
Yeah, we will.
So this girl, Harrelson, said, a lot of people were saying I'm a bully and mean for posting this, and it made me feel kind of bad. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of guys in Hollywood are talking to all these young girls, and it's something that I think a lot of people should be aware of.
No. Yes.
This is not cool at all.
Listen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's my feelings are all over the place on this. It was, first off, I think it was a year ago that it happened, this exchange. He had just gotten on Rye. I don't know how they are presented, if it says 19 years old or whatever in the bio. I don't know what the interface is like. So the case could be made if he's 51, he should have passed, I think, at the time. You know, certainly passed on that. I think there's a point in the conversation in which she says, you're as old as my father.
Well, yeah, she claims at one point during the conversation he made her uncomfortable by asking if he was older than her dad. He is, but only by 1 year.
1 year, yeah.
And that made her feel uncomfortable?
Harrelson, who posted the video on her TikTok account, ended up taking the video down within less than 24 hours of posting because she, quote, did feel a little bit bad because the Friends actor was a really nice guy, she said.
Hey, what's up now?
So all this is really is a 20-year-old who wants to get notoriety and get more followers on her TikTok.
That's exactly it. And that's what a lot of people are pointing out.
Come on, man.
It happened a while ago. Is it a little creepy? Yeah. The exchange is a little creepy? Yes. It's exactly right, Preston. How come all of a sudden it ends up on TikTok?
Yeah. By the way, she's blonde, gorgeous, big lips, big blue eyes.
Yeah. She took it down yesterday.
Yeah. So,
but I kept all the followers.
So, you know, but if you're doing these dating sites or whatever it may be, and I mean, there should be a little bit of,
What are you paying for?
Yeah,
What are you paying
privacy,
for?
Right?
If you're not paying for that, do you know what the monthly charge is for Ryan? I thought it was $7.90.
Shut up.
$7.99
for a month. The whole thing of it is that on the inside, when you opt in, you're supposed to be invited by members already. You're sort of vetted that way. I was thinking there was some prohibitive cost that made it something that said, okay, no one's going to do this unless they're really up there.
Wow.
$8 a month?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's cheaper than my Disney Plus.
you got to get the bundle.
And
man.
Preston, I know. This is, you're getting Ben Affleck, Matthew Perry level stars that are on this.
Yeah. But what are the female stars?
I have a friend who's on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know if she's ever been like, I don't know exactly how it works, but I don't know if she's ever been like connected with, you know, a real star.
Well, the thing is that's, I've always heard of this, and we've heard of this since it began as, okay, you want to know where the celebrities go when they want their own site? This is where it is. And apparently it is, but I always assumed there was more to it than just your Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's included with Hulu?
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, I'm sure more will come from this service, so we'll keep an eye on that. There's a follow-up story. Kim Kardashian denies buying an ancient Roman artifact that the U.S. government is attempting to return to Italy. We spoke about this yesterday. According to a lawsuit obtained by TMZ, a statue dating back to 1st or 2nd century Rome was shipped to the U.S. in 2016. The paperwork listed Kim Kardashian Noel Roberts Trust as the importer of the artwork. A representative, though, for Kim denies that she made the deal, and sources tell the outlet that that the purchases were made by her estranged husband, Kanye, as part of a larger shipment of artwork. I think that makes a little more sense. Because I could see him buying gigantic statues.
Yes.
The federal government is working to retrieve the piece because Italian officials determined the statue is cultural treasure that was essentially looted from an archaeological site. So.
About a statue that has no arms.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I know she means well, okay? But Eva Mendez wrote a candid Instagram post on Thursday with some wise words for anyone who feels insecure about the way they look. She's flawless.
She's flawless.
The 47-year-old actress shared a shot from a 2003 film, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, with a caption that said, I remember seeing this photo back then and thinking my face looked weird and that my bone structure was odd, yada, yada. You know all those insecurities that a 26-year-old can have. Yeah. Meanwhile, 20 years later, and now I wish I still had that weird face and odd bone structure. And she said, why is this my point? I'm not sure. Maybe it's if you have a photo of yourself, wait 20 years and then you'll love it. So
yeah, there's this saying that goes something like, I wish I was as skinny as I was when I thought when
no,
I first
I wish I was as fat as no wait
I no wish I wish I was as skinny as I was when I first thought I was fat,
right?
Something like that.
Right I know
but
what you
you're mean. Right on the listen and you're it's your own reality. You can't say to someone you can't feel that way, but Jesus Christ.
I know like I said,
I mean it's just the complete converse. It's like she was worried, I'm 10 times worse than I thought I was.
I know. Like I said, I know she means well,
yeah.
But she's perfect.
No. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Yeah. Like Rocky Dennison's going, that's a good point.
All right. So a gal we love now who we have got to get on this show, Kate Winslet.
Yes. She invited to my barbecue, guys. I just decided. But
anyway. We went on the show.
From Mayor of Easttown was being interviewed recently, said that she fully embraced Pennsylvania culture for her role as Mayor Sheehan. She said that she decided to subscribe to the Delco Times.
Oh, my God. I used to deliver that newspaper.
I know you did. And she did that to better understand her character. This is before she even came here, okay? And so she was doing her research. And one thing she noticed while reading it every day was that there was a whole lot of articles mentioning a place called Wawa. Winslet quickly found herself incredibly intrigued. She said it was almost like a mythical place, Wawa, she said. And by the time I got there, she said, I was like, it's real. Walking into a Wawa ultimately felt like it was kind of an honor in a funny way because to me, she says this, Casey, the quote, that was the heart of Delco.
Oh my God, I love her so much.
She's right.
And she is calling it Delco.
Correct.
Yeah, she is.
So and Casey's had a crush on her for ever since
Titanic.
I've known you.
Ever since Titanic and a crush on Wawa.
Yeah.
So she said to finally walk through the door of a Wawa. She said, I don't know why I felt like, oh yes, I'm here. I belong. This is where it's at.
Jack, draw Wawa. Me like your Wawa.
These are direct quotes.
What's that?
Jack, draw me like your Wawa. Yeah, it's awesome. Have you started watching the show at all, Preston?
No.
All right. You can let it wrap up, and then it's only going to be like 6 episodes, I think?
I think that's what I'll do. I'll let it finish, and then I'll use it as my exercise show.
I'll tell you what. It is, and Kathy and Casey, we're watching it, right?
Yeah, I watched the latest.
So it is a murder mystery and a soap opera all at once.
Yeah.
Because you have everybody's got something going on, Preston.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet either. I can't wait. I will at some point. But Casey, at this point, it's got to be like she's the perfect woman. I mean, it's Delco.
I mean,
Wawa.
My wife is the perfect woman.
Well, I mean, okay, the
right.
Perfect.
Okay, Winslet's
the
perfect woman.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect English woman.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
Although Winslet said she mainly ordered coffee at Wawa.
That's cool. That's the coolest order ever.
That's okay, baby.
Her mayor of Easttown.
It's okay, baby.
We can get coffee.
Oh, my God.
Her mayor of Easttown co-star Evan Peters decided to dabble in Wawa's hoagie selection.
I like him, too. He's really good in the show.
Yeah. And by the way, I was there last night. Roast pork is back at Wawa. It's back at Wawa.
I think Kate Winslet needs to come back for that.
Yes.
Winslet said that Peters would say, oh, you've got to try the gobbler. And she said it was this gigantic sub, basically. And then she corrected herself.
Yeah.
She said, or hoagie, this huge hoagie. It's basically a Thanksgiving meal and a hoagie. And he was like, oh, yeah. I just eat that thing and I pass out.
Oh, my God. This is hilarious.
And she said, I'd be like, I'm not surprised. I am not surprised, Evan. So she is, she loves Wawa, man.
That is funny.
We've got to make an interview happen. She's got to talk to us here, the Preston and Steve Show.
We have a relationship with the writer, right?
Yeah, I emailed Brad last week, and he's on it. And so Brad Inglesby is an old family friend. He's trying on our behalf. He had a really nice time when he was on with us a few weeks back. He knows Kate. Right now, she's not apparently doing a lot of interviews. Mm-hmm. So we're playing the long game on this.
Right. No, it's okay as long as we work it.
I believe it'll happen at some point.
What I would really like is for her to be our special guest at the barbecue. Right, Kate?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good call, too.
Backstage, hanging out with Jackie Bam Bam.
She needs to hear about Casey. That'll bring it around.
Yeah.
She's got to hear about this young boy who's this lifelong or this very, very long, infatuation with her, not in a creepy way.
Now it's sound creepy.
No. We won't use the word infatuation.
Could be the new series.
Appreciation.
Case from Telco.
Yeah. Tell her that I'm dying because
that usually works.
Yeah. He's on Make-A-Wish.
And it's not like
tell her that I'm dying.
Well, I mean, we all are, right? So
yeah, it's true.
True.
It is true.
You know, yeah. So it's not a lie.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on. This is a great story. Casey sent us this video yesterday. This press conference was hilarious. Jake Paul finally got a taste of what it's like to fight a real boxer. On Thursday afternoon, Paul got into a brawl with Floyd Mayweather. And it's pretty funny. He randomly decided to steal his hat. He did steal Floyd Mayweather's hat. And they're doing the face-off thing, you know, which is standard for a boxing press event.
Right.
And they're face-to-face and they're smack-talking. And Jake reaches out and takes his baseball hat. And it's really funny because you can hear him going, I got your hat. Casey, I laughed out loud at that.
I
thought it was really funny.
I don't really care. Hat. For the Paul brothers, but that happened. I was like, okay, I hate you a little less now.
It was funny. So after the brawl, Paul had a black eye and a broken tooth uploaded later. Yeah, he claims, and I believe it, that one of the bodyguards hit him, not Floyd himself. The bodyguards at those things are really, they get in between everybody.
So realize in any of these situations,
got your hat.
You have the professional boxer, the legendary fighter, who protects that guy?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
You know what you're dealing with when the bodyguards are around.
This is so stupid.
Oh, it's so great.
Listen, this could not be better for the promoters.
Oh, my God,
this
could
not be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Floyd called him later and go, yo, that was really great.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Amazing. Yeah. That's going to make us a couple more million.
Yep. Look at the number of cameras and phones and people getting footage of this is astounding.
It happened when stuff like this happens, even when something that was a little bit more authentic, which was the Conor McGregor freak out outside the bus. You remember that?
Yeah.
In this environment, that adds to your potential earning power.
Yep. You know that Jake Paul also got a tattoo afterwards that says, got your hat?
No.
Yeah. Yesterday,
yeah. Apparently, it's a small one.
See, if you don't mind, if you can find the audio of that, because I would like to play that, because the way he's just going, I got your hat. it's pretty funny.
So Logan is the one actually fighting Floyd, right?
No.
I believe he is. I think Logan Paul is fighting Floyd.
Oh, it says Jake Paul takes Floyd Mayweather's hat at event that for brother Logan Paul's fight.
Yeah, so...
Really?
So Jake was there to sort of drum up publicity.
I've lost track of who's who.
You're right to do that because it's not a waste of... I mean, it is a total waste of your time and energy. But so Jake is doing a good job at hyping Logan's fight.
Okay. All right.
I got yes, he did get the tattoo press. If you look here, it just says, gotcha hat.
Gotcha hat. Oh, that's funny. All right. We'll have that in a second, but I have a couple other things to get to. Let's go. Armie Hammer has been spotted for the first time since a woman named Effie accused him of rape in March. According to Page Six, the Call Me By Your Name actor was spotted dining at Makuba on Grand Cayman with two older people and three other women, it says. Hammer's estranged wife, Elizabeth Chambers, has been in the Cayman Islands with their two children since the start of the pandemic, so, you know, he's there to be with them. Kaley Cuoco would definitely be open to some sort of reunion show with her Big Bang Theory castmates. She told E! News, it does still feel like yesterday that we wrapped. I think everyone is kind of trying out their new paths and seeing what the next project is, and I'm excited to see how everyone flourishes. However, she says she wants to wait a few years, but she's still in touch with her castmates.
It just ended.
They're already talking about a reboot. Maya Balik, right? That's how you pronounce it. Blossom
was
talking about a reboot. They're actually all doing things. So no one's hurting. And they could clearly live the rest of their lives on the Big Bang Theory money. Yep. No problem.
Yep. Steve pointed this out to me yesterday. Sad news, and he's kind of an obscure actor, but maybe you know who he is. Frank McRae, who was in a bunch of movies, appeared in films such as License to Kill and Last Action Hero, and one of our all-time favorites, Used Cars.
Used Cars.
Passed away. He had a heart attack. He was 80 years old. He's a really big gentleman. He was this imposing-looking character, but he could pull off some great comedy.
In Last Action Hero case, he is the police captain.
Oh!
The one who's always doing it!
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Steve, in 48 Hours, he's the police captain in that
as well. Yes, that's right.
So he's the guy that... Nick Nolte is always, you know, yelling back and forth at. He plays a typical grizzled, you know, police captain. So he appeared in more than 40 films during his three-decade-long career. He was 6.5 feet tall. Cornered the market on tough guy characters in films like Big Wednesday to 48 Hours, even in National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon 2. But also is well known for playing James Bond ally Sharky in the 1989 spy flick License to Kill.
Yeah, he's great.
He also memorably appeared, like Steve said, in Last Action Hero. Before acting, he had a brief stint in the NFL. He played defensive tackle for the Chicago Bears and the Rams as well.
He had a great sense of humor for a guy who looked that imposing.
Yeah.
He was wonderful.
And Used Cars is one of our favorite movies, I think Steve and I.
One of Robert Zemeckis's first films.
Oh, it's so funny. The late actor is survived by his son, Marcellus, and his grandchildren, Camden, Jensen, and Holden. Marissa found that audio. Let me play this real quick of it's Jake Paul or Logan Paul. That's Jake. One of the Paul.
Jake
brothers.
Paul.
Here we go. Say, this is great when he takes his hat. You'll hear him.
Let's do it.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Get the pet work for this bum.
Get Al Hammond.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't need Al Hammond.
Let me call Al Hammond.
I'm my own
Let's
boss.
Make it happen.
I'm my own
one
boss.
One night. Got your hat.
It's like got your nose.
Yeah,
it's,
really,
it's the same thing, but he keeps saying it. Got your hat.
Got your hat.
Got your hat.
Yeah,
like an eighth grader, man.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm on one night. Got your hat.
Oh,
yeah, got your hat. Got your hat.
Got your hat.
Actually, it was a great move.
I don't know where. Like again, I agree with you, Case. It sort of cuts back. I for some reason I find myself loathing both of them now because of all this. But that does. Okay, all right. Let me think about this a little bit because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
That I'm drawn to stupidity.
It was a great move. Owen Wilson has been cast in the upcoming action comedy Secret Headquarters. Wow, he'll be good.
Yeah.
The 51-year-old actor is set to play an unknown role in the movie from co-directors Henry Joost and, or Joost, I'm not sure if you pronounce it that way, Ariel Schulman. The plot follows a kid who discovers a secret headquarters of the world's most powerful superhero hidden beneath his home and must defend it with his group of friends when villains attack.
All right.
Owen will also be seen in Disney Plus's Loki series. He's playing a character called Mobius M. Mobius.
Well, it looks good. Looks and really good.
Also be in Wes Anderson's The French Dispatch. So he's got several things coming up.
France.
Wow. the latter is the upcoming the French Dispatch, upcoming post-World War II drama in which Owen will portray journalist Herb Saint Zazerac. The star-studded cast boasts Bill Murray, Francis McDormand, Tilda Swinton, Adrian Brody, Bob Balaban, Benicio del Toro, and Timothy Chalamet. That's pretty loaded.
He can do drama and do it very well. The thing is I like him so much as a likable character in lighter fare that sometimes it takes a little bit of work to remember. Oh yeah, he can be a dramatic actor.
Yeah. Owen will also has "Marry Me" with Jennifer Lopez on the way in 2022. They. The singer and actress will play a pop star who marries a stranger who was Owen after finding out her fiance has cheated on her. The pair met after the singer holds a Marry Me sign at one of her concerts. So that's how that happened.
He is in one of the deadly, guaranteed make me cry my eyes out movies, Marley and Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's not the first time that he and Jennifer Lopez have worked together.
Wow.
They appeared in the 1997 horror Anaconda together.
Yes, that's right.
With the likes of Ice Cube and John Voight.
John Voight chews up the scenery in that movie.
So they will be together in that movie. And then one last thing. Let me see. We'll go with this one. Borat subsequent movie film star Sarah Sacha Baron Cohen will receive the Comic Genius Award at the 2021 MTV Movie and Award Show. According to the network, the trophy honors an actor who has made incomparable contributions to the world of comedy and has provided a major influence through their work. Previous recipients include Melissa McCarthy, Kevin Hart, and Will Ferrell, so they need to give that to him. Steve, did you see the Trial of Chicago 7?
Yes. Yeah, I loved it. He's great. He's very good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's great, and it's a great Aaron Sorkin script, and
he's a solid actor.
He is.
Period.
And so, like, you know, he was the original consideration for Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. And he probably could have pulled that off.
Could have done it. Yeah.
I remember reading that early on and going, come on, man. Borat is right. Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
But
I like rock.
The dude has, he's got some serious acting chops. So, they're going to give him that comedy award, though. All right, we're ready for, is it Mystery Clips? I think it's Mystery Clips.
Or is it this?
All right, movies first?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Did movies first.
Gets me every time.
All right, one movie.
It's good.
The Wrath of Man. It stars Jason Statham, Holt McElhinney, who we're going to talk to later on, and Josh Hartnett. Mysterious and wild-eyed, a new security guard for a cash truck surprises his co-workers when he unleashes precision skills during a heist. The crew is left wondering who he is and where he came from. Soon, the marksman's ultimate motive becomes clear as he takes dramatic and irrevocable steps to settle a score. It is an hour and 58 minutes long. It's rated R in theaters today, a wide release. Rotten Tomato score gives it a 70% so far.
So this is actually a remake of a movie called Cash Truck, and with Guy Ritchie, who is great directing, and he's worked with Jason Statham before. It looks like it's going to be good.
All right, we are ready for our clips now, because that's all that. And they are not a mystery. I had the information right here. Sorry.
Ooh. Ready to play.
In the new film, The Resort, four friends take a trip to Hawaii, hoping to lurk around a famous abandoned resort. But things turn ugly once they finally reach their destination. In this clip, and you never would have gotten this, Brock O'Hearn describes these strange vibes on the set. Here we go.
The resort itself was like, it felt like its own ecosystem of just what the heck is going on in here and what's going to happen. Like, it felt like anything could happen at any moment. So, I mean, you wake up and you look outside and the water's there and you're in beautiful Hawaii. The weather's perfect. And then you go to the resort and you're there till 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And you're like, this place is creepy.
Shut the f*** up! The resort is now streaming on Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. It actually does look pretty good.
On the next clip, here we go. Here Today redefines the meaning of love and trust between two friends who walk different paths of life. And in this clip, Billy Crystal. Is this the famous Billy Crystal? Because it's spelled B-I-L-L-I-E.
No, that's Billy spells with a Y.
It's just misspelled. It's Billy Crystal's.
It is Billy Crystal. Yeah. Okay, talks about his inspiration for this film. Here we go.
But I was dealing with a relative who was a wonderful novelist, and she was had early onset of dementia. And she told me one day, because I was taking care of her, she says, "I'm losing my words. I'm losing my words." And I thought, how profound. That's a really good story.
Shut the fuck up.
Here Today is now showing in select theaters. Wow. Okay. That sounds like a heavy movie.
It sure does.
And that's all I have for you this morning in the Entertainment Report. I had more, but I could have gotten to it. But we're out of time, folks. We got stuff. We got things to do. We got to make sure you have ample opportunity to win some stuff, including money this morning with Preston Steve Money Clip, including MM Barbecue tickets, including tickets for the Eggs with Peg party at Keenan's coming up on Friday, May 28th. And we got to get you some beer, which we're going to do right now.
Woo!
We'll take caller number 15 at 215-263. Come on, give me the big one, Steve. 215-263-WMMR. Giving you a case of Stella. Hey, Stella.
Hey, Stella.
Caller 15. Your table is ready in the life of Artois.
Hey, Stella.
See you soon for a Stella Artois draft at Tavola's restaurant.
Ooh, hey,
at
Stella.
Springfield Country Club in Delaware County. Open to the public daily for lunch, dinner, and outdoor dining. So give us a call right now. 15, you get that. We're also going to have on the program today some guests. We will have, like I said earlier, Holt McElhinney, Wrath of Man. We have comedian Chappelle Lacey. And Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction is giving us a buzz at 10 a.m., and that's when the MMRBQ tickets go on sale. So we're excited for that. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Why are you calling, Wanda?
93.3 WMMR presents...
Because I won $500!
Ah, shut up!
Preston and Steve's Money Clips.
Wanda, you're our money winner?
Yes, I am, baby.
Your shot at stuffing $500 in your money clip.
You won $500?
Yes!
I am excited.
Up to 7 times a day, weekdays.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
See official rules and details at WMMR.com.
Can I get some ice cream and dessert with you?
Oh, you definitely can.
Sponsored by Hyundai City, South Jersey's official Hyundai headquarters.
Smooches!
Smooches!
All
right. 93.3
WMMR.
Man, y'all rock, brother, man. Love y'all guys.
All right, congratulations, awesome. Drake.
Yeah.
Very man, cool. That is so cool.
Everything that rocks.
A couple days ago, we were talking about, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates splitting up and you know, they put out an official statement and everything. We'd also mentioned there was this other story about the woman he had dated before, and Winblad. It's well known that they were, you know, in love and everything.
Yes.
And
yeah.
He had actually asked for her blessing to marry Melinda, and
yeah,
she gave it. So they were that close, even though they weren't romantically involved any longer. And one of the things that was interesting out of that story, and we had said it briefly, was that he had told Melinda and had made an agreement that one weekend a year he would do a vacation getaway with Anne.
No.
There was a place, I think it was in the Outer Banks, that
yes,
she had,
you're right,
and that they would go to. She had a beach cottage, and they would hang out for the weekend. And Melinda was cool with this and allowed him to do that.
Now, when you'd said that, and I did a little bit more reading, the Daily Mail had something on the whole arrangement. It was a lot more like, hey, I'm going to go do this thing. It was like, no, this has to be. This is like we are. This
yeah, we have to be in
this
in
would
agreement.
Be a deal breaker if this is not something I can have.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So, yeah.
So it's not like, hey, by the way, the guy, you know, I'm going to get together with the guys. We're going to. No. Without this, no marriage.
Right. So, yeah, they would hang out. It says they would ride dune buggies, hang glide, walk on the beach. Bill had said in an interview they would play putt-putt while discussing biotechnology.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's an intellectual. And
I'm going to discuss biotechnology all over your back.
I can't believe she was okay with it, too.
What's that?
I can't believe she was okay with
Melinda?
It, too. No, the girlfriend.
Yeah. I mean, if they really had a thing going on, yeah, there was some kind of an arrangement.
Listen, he was in a long-term relationship with, reading the article, too, a lot of the people in that sphere... said that he was more attached to her. There were more the prior girlfriend. So I don't know the dynamics, and you're only hearing hearsay.
Yeah, why would they break up in the first place?
Why would they break up in the first place if that was the case?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was wild, and it, you know, there was there used to be a Broadway comedy called Same Time Next Year.
Yeah,
it was made into a movie.
Yeah.
And that kind of arrangement always blows my mind.
So I met a group of people one time. It was early on. It may have been that very first year we started working here, 2005. And we went to, it was the Cardboard Classic, and we would go down and stay the night before. And so I went to Shenanigans, which is the local, you know, hotspot party club in that area near Jack Frost. And I met this group of people, and they told me there was a couple of guys and a couple of girls, and none of these people were married to each other. They were married to other people.
All of them. Wow.
And that they would meet every year. They had a weekend in the Poconos, and they were flat out telling me, yes, we cheat on our spouses with these people.
So cheating implies...
They flat out did it.
The other parties had
no idea.
The other
parties don't know.
Yep.
Wow. And they
wow.
told me that. I asked them all about it, but it was same time next year.
Same time next year.
It was their plan. They got together and they did it, and they were really open in telling me about it, which was pretty wild. But
hey, could you mention it on the air?
I do. There are so many people that are not going to be allowed to go to Carver Classic anymore.
But I'm curious.
Oh, man.
I'm curious who has arrangements. Maybe not necessarily in knowing that knowing for sure that they're going to be with this other person. But hey, I have to have this every year. You've got to let me do this. You got to let me go. And let's just not discuss what goes on there. You know,
could you have a relationship like that where, and again, I'm not passing judgment. If it works for you, that's great. I would find it hard to say, you know, honey, you go ahead, go away with the basketball team, and whatever you do is what you do.
Well, there's
away
an interesting
with the basketball team.
There's an interesting Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, with Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, with Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
And he, not to get into too much detail, but he kind of has this relationship. It's a unique relationship. You need to see the episode with another man, even though he's married to his wife, who he loves. And they eventually come to an arrangement where he has one weekend where he goes and does this thing with this guy. And she, in turn, who initially had no interest in being with other people, but because he had this thing, she was allowed to go and take off her wedding band and go for a weekend and find who she wants to. And
yeah.
And so they had to, because he was so...
Right.
It was so... it was something he needed.
It was
to
ingrained
do.
In him, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Okay, so I know somebody like that. It's not talked about and it's not agreed upon. It's not technically agreed upon. They've never discussed this, but she knows every year he goes away and he goes to this specific location every year. I think
Great Wolf Lodge.
I think he goes with like, I want to say like one other person, like okay. it's another guy or whatever, but it is known that that's what they're doing when they go away and they find chicks and they sleep with them. And it's every single year and it's not the same person every year. They're not going to somebody else.
Okay. You know, right.
So it's different people. It's whoever
just
they
screwing
can meet,
around,
just screwing around.
And it's okay. A don't ask, don't tell with his wife.
Yes. And she knows.
And
every
she knows
year
it. Don't,
that's what's happening. And it happened for years. And then finally, after like a really long time, years and years, she was like, you know what, well, if you're doing it, then I want to do it.
Oh.
And so now she goes away with one other person and they do the same thing.
All right. Whoa. So she confided in you this?
She doesn't necessarily know that else. I know, but okay. I do.
Wow. See, Kathy was away on her weekend and
ran into her.
You're here too? It's great. The continental breakfast is amazing.
To me, that seems, Kathy, more like a recipe for disaster because of the dishonesty. Like, I think, right. Steve, to your point earlier, like if both people are on the same page on it,
yeah.
and it works for them,
yeah.
that to me seems like it can work forever.
Who,
right?
am I to say?
Right. If,
for me, I would find, I don't know. But I've heard of this kind of thing, you know.
Well,
and here there was a meme going around the other day, and I mentioned it to you, Preston. It was, if Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates can't keep a woman
right.
happy, what are we supposed to do?
I know a woman who is comfortable with being the other woman.
Okay.
So she is not married. Her husband, she got divorced a long time ago, and she is now the other woman in a relationship with a married man.
Yeah.
And the married man and his wife are okay with that arrangement. So it's basically, it's a throuple.
To me, it seems like the same sort of mentality, or no, this is probably sort of degrading. I don't mean it to be that. But there's maybe something that's similar to someone who marries somebody in prison. Like, I know the parameters.
I know where they are.
I know where they are. Yeah. I know what the deal is, you know?
Nick, so just real quick to comment on what you said. Yes, in my life and probably your life, that would be a disaster. It would never work out. But I'm telling you,
she better be clean.
No, but they've been doing it for so long that, like, they're still married.
It works.
They still live a normal. You would run into them on the street and be like, "Oh, what a cute, nice little couple! They seem so friendly and in love." And they do. Like when you're with them, they're very loving and yeah. And
so everything outwardly. Do you think that's honest? Like behind closed doors, do you think it's that's awesome?
You know what? I mean, from what I know, behind closed doors, like with their very close friends, that they're pretty happy.
Do you know what this? If Rochelle and I had this arrangement, I would come back every year from that weekend. Frustrated because I couldn't get laid.
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I tried so damn hard.
And she'd be there. She'd be like, "God damn, I'm tired. I am white. How'd you do? Oh, I did great.
I need a vacation from a vacation.
I did great.
I mean, I took
awesome.
All. I took my best clothes, yeah. my money, my cologne. I worked out for months,
Chris,
before that.
I gotta be honest. I was in the driveway when I had my first. It just didn't stop.
God, that would be...
Ah, yeah, me too.
This was a bad idea.
What's that movie? There's another movie with the... it's The Pass. I think it's The Whole Pass is the name of it.
Yes.
Where, yes, right?
And Jenna Fisher at the end realizes she's the one... It's actually with Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson.
And she realizes she's the one who wants and needs the Hall Pass.
And Jason Sudeikis?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's an interesting concept. I mean, I think we talked about it on the show.
Steve, that movie, same time next year, I actually read a book that referenced that, and that's what the whole entire book was about.
Was about that. To me, I'm made of mentally much weaker stuff. I don't think I could handle that. I'd rather have someone say, listen, there... Or I don't know. I need to lay down, Preston. It's hard to, you know, to wrap your mind around stuff like this.
If you want to share a story, 215-263-WMMR. We had a guy named Dave who was on the line. He is hung up. I don't know why, but he had an arrangement to go to, I think he had said, what was it, a football weekend?
College football game every year.
With a girl that I guess he's friends with, and his wife would allow him to do that. I have some, you know, a couple of female friends who I wouldn't mind hanging out with just to go do something with, who's a bud of mine. I have a couple of them, Sandy and Melissa, who, you know, I stay in touch with from time to time. I'd love to go hang out with them.
I could easily hang out with Sandy. With Sandy. Yeah. I met her when I was down in Australia. But I have always had female friends that I've hung out with where there wasn't anything going on outside of that.
Yeah.
And I could do that now. And my wife would not be... have any problem with me hanging out with, you know, these other women.
But it's a stretch traveling and
a whole weekend,
and staying a weekend.
Romantic seaside location.
Right.
Secluded.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Folding chairs. No.
Do you think...
I kid you not. If you look at the pictures inside this billionaire's setup around the table, it's folding chairs.
So I was going to ask, and you mentioned the billionaires, do you think that money automatically changes the equation?
Yes.
You get to that level of wealth, and you're just like, screw it. You know, what are we fighting for? You know, and ultimately it led to their divorce, so maybe money doesn't protect them in the long run. But I would think, like, you get to that level of wealth, this type of arrangement is made more easily.
I wonder also, listen, what is the long weekend... You know, what about not simply going away for an extended period of time? What if you just, I'm going to go out for a little bit and, you know, having a don't ask, don't tell sort of relationship, you know, where you're not going to another state for what? It's just the amount of time spent that makes this different from the weekend. But if you're saying I'm going to go out for a couple hours and come back and you're having a little dalliance. And, you know, there's this understanding, okay, go do what you need to do, and I'll do what I need to do.
Nick, I think the money plays a large part because it becomes more tolerable for, I think, both women.
That's what I mean.
You know, like the mistress or whoever, the side piece is probably getting gifts and presents and is like, all right, do I want to give that up? And then the wife is saying, I'll just let him do what he wants so that I can...
I'm living in a mansion.
Yeah.
You know, we could shower women with Dunkin' gift cards.
Exactly.
Yes.
Primos.
We get one a month.
Yeah. Mal Kalper comes in.
T-shirts.
$100 for the donuts anytime you want.
Predatory sexual habits. Right. It's going to be sick. I hope you get a hand job off this one.
Oh, my God. Dude.
She loves crawlers.
Get some sick sex off of this one.
I have a Dunkin' gift card for you.
This is for Primo. Enjoy it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear God.
He's laughable.
Yeah. Let me go to Angela. She wants to share a story. Hey, Angela, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Angela?
Just lots of stuff. I'm actually calling because I am asexual, and I'm completely open to this sort of stuff. And I had an experience one time with an ex because being asexual, I don't know how much you know about it, but not necessarily always sexually attracted to people, even if you're dating them. And I had an instance where I allowed him to, you know, go have some fun, and he came back absolutely emotionally distraught and just could not handle it whatsoever.
Right. Wow. Couple of questions, Angela. Asexual meaning that you don't really have any sexual activity, correct?
Not necessarily no sexual activity whatsoever. I'm just not sexually attracted to people in general.
Okay.
I like having sex.
Yep.
But it's just, there's no sexual attraction.
I got you. Yeah, I know somebody like that. Okay, and so you were in a relationship even though it wasn't really actively sexual, I guess, and he went off and he came back after. Why was he upset when he came back?
Because he felt like he was cheating on me, even though I gave him the hall pass of all of the hall passes that he could ever get.
Wow.
So you give him, and that's the situation. You say, I just don't have the same drive that you do. Go off and have fun. You have blessing, and you have my blessing. He comes back, and it still didn't mean anything. He was completely distraught.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. So did you work on him, or did he say, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore?
Oh, he said, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore. And I tried to make it like a two-way street, you know what I mean? Not necessarily that I was going to go out and have sex with anybody.
Yeah.
But I tried to make it a two-way street, and he just absolutely lost his mind.
That would have shot holes in your whole thing if he said, would it be better if I went off and had sex with other people?
Hey, so, Angela, I want to ask you a question about your asexuality and how that works when you do have relations. I mean, is it more like, all right, well, I'm just, like, almost like I'm giving him a back scratch?
I don't really know what you mean.
No, she said she likes she likes having sex. She's just not sexually attracted to whoever it is that she's with, right, Angela?
Right, yeah. And I don't necessarily have the same sex drive as normal people, quote-unquote normal people.
Sometimes it does not match up. And so that was the thing, and you're being very honest and trying to allow this guy you're with or are with to go do it, and it was too much. He couldn't see. I think there would be all that kicking in for me, that level of guilt, no matter how much I, you know. And besides, just in general, I don't want to. To me, it's, and again, I'm not judging anybody who does, but yeah. To me, it's like, I picked my wife, that's who I want, you know.
All right,
yeah,
interesting. Thank you, Angela. We appreciate it.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
All right,
have
see
a great
you.
Day.
You too.
It would suck if you set up one of those arrangements, Preston, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, and then you try.
She's got all sorts of, like, you know, traveling. She's just tired. Oh, I am beat.
Here's a text that Nick just brought up. Says, no sad, bro. Friday. Good morning. I've bartended since I've gotten out of the Marines in 2002, and I've become a permanent side piece to some of my married bar customers.
Wow.
Gosh. It's amazing the amount of unhappy people. So I don't know if the person texting in is male or female. So they've become a side piece of sorts.
Yeah. You know, if people want to call in, just say what you want to say on air, and then I'll repeat it in a disguised voice.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, listen, if people had this arrangement,
yeah.
Well, they probably keep that secret to themselves as well. But, yeah, I would imagine it's a pretty rare thing to allow someone to go off, you know, have this arrangement where you can do this one this weekend or whatever it may be. And even if it's not knowingly that you're going to be with this other person, maybe it's just a mysterious thing that your spouse does.
Right.
They want to go away and listen. I got to go. This is just something I need to do, and you have to be cool with it. And
go catch a Lancaster to look at flowers.
And I have an arrangement.
It's going to be a while. Flowers out in Lancaster.
I mean, I actually, with Bill Gates, I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't sexual, if they were legit hang-gliding every weekend.
Case, it wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
He's kind of a quirky dude, and he may
How do you
be,
think this coffee maker works?
Right. He may be really into, she may be way smarter than Melinda, and that kind of in a bizarre way is a stimulant for
or
him.
She's just putting the moves on him. He's just not responding at all.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to get cold in that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But there are a number of interesting scenarios that live out in the world.
Right.
And this is completely different, but I mean, there are some people, some men, if they have a wife that's really not into sports, they have to make an arrangement that, look, you just got to give me this time through football
season. To have sex with other women.
Because my team
always
loses.
I love football.
Go Birds.
So every Sunday afternoon, I'm going to be with hookers. You got to give me that.
Somebody pointed out Brokeback Mountain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen the movie. I need to see it.
I lived it, Donnie.
So
it's a great movie.
The guys, the couple, Heath Ledger and
Jake Gyllenhaal,
do their the women in their lives know that this is happening?
The one who's Jake Gyllenhaal's wife has more of a more of an understanding than does Heath Ledger's. And that ends up, ends up going asunder.
But they're working. They're not going and camping, together for fun. Like the reason they get together is they're working together.
And
but
then they're
herding sheep up on Brokeback Mountain. And then
they have their liaison.
Someone looks good in jeans and you know, we've all been there, President.
When they decide to take it to another level.
Camping with the buddy, and you're like, I can't quit you.
Interesting. So this apparently went on for a long time, and now people are curious if maybe Bill and Ann, this other woman, will end up, you know, in a full relationship together.
I wonder if something stays at that level because it's not meant to go long. Like, in other words,
yeah,
it only works in this.
Right.
Yeah.
It might be.
A little bit.
That might be how it is now meant to be.
Bill, now we can be together forever. I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah. Man, so. All right. Well, anyhow, it's certainly an interesting setup, but they're officially not together anymore. They are going through a divorce, and we'll see if he ends up sticking with her.
The place is incredibly romantic too. If you've seen the pictures of,
I haven't.
It has this long sort of elevated boardwalk out to a gazebo right on the water's edge, and it's. Wow. I mean, come on.
You guys ever been,
like to have sex?
You guys ever been to the Outer Banks? That's where this is.
Yeah,
cottages.
It's
romantic.
It was very romantic. Yeah, no, I went there for spring break one year, thinking, "Hey, we're heading south and we're going to go to someplace tropical and nice." It was colder in the Outer Banks than it was in Lewisburg, PA. But the great thing about the Outer Banks is you can rent a massive house for not that much money. It's so much cheaper than the Jersey Shore. And the beaches are wide and really nice.
It's not like overcrowded.
It's a shore town. Oh, no, it's overcrowded.
Is it?
The Outer Banks? Yeah.
Yeah, most of the people in North Carolina, obviously, that's where they go when they go to the beach.
I didn't. When I was there once, and it didn't seem to be.
But the houses aren't right on top of each other like
they're not,
the Jersey Shore, right?
They're just huge.
Yeah. Oh, that feels good.
I think it depends on.
Yeah, do that.
It also depends on where you go.
Yeah, we went to
there
Corova.
There are parts where the houses are on top of each other.
Yeah, we went to Corova, and you have to drive on the beach to get to the houses. Like, the road does not exist at that point anymore.
Also, you need to leave at, like, if you're going from this area at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, because if you get, there's only one way in.
Yep.
So if you go when you know, the renters are on their way in, you're going to sit for hours to get 5 minutes down the road.
Bill probably comes in off his yacht.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he does have a
He's coming
super
from the
yachts.
Pacific coast, though.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe.
Maybe he's got time. He swings.
He goes whatever way he wants to go.
Yeah. He goes through the Panama Canal.
He's got a super fast tunnel that he had built from.
You got to take a look at this. Open that door. Isn't that amazing? I built it directly from Seattle. You did this for me? Only for you, baby. Now touch it.
A tunnel from Seattle to the Outer Banks?
Yeah.
Wow. He really is crazy.
I call it the vajunnel.
No, the vajunnel. Oh, my God. That's perfect.
Yeah, why not?
That's it. All right, so we had the Marine that texted in earlier, the bartender. We've got him on the line. All right. He is indeed male. It's Bob. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Bob! Good morning. Sorry about you guys at work.
No, it's all right. So, how long are you still doing this?
Yes.
Okay. So you're a bartender, and there are married women that like to have setups with you. You know, the little liaisons, for lack of a better word.
It's not even that. They come in. They're unhappy.
Yeah.
To whatever the situation is, they come in either in a group or one or two girls, and I'll sit down at the bar, and eventually after talking to them, get things out. You know, bartenders can be therapists or whatnot.
Right.
They'll end up wanting to, I guess, they're seeking what they're not getting at home or what they're not happy with at home.
Right.
Well, and Bob, let me ask you, are they sort of maneuvering the conversation with a with an intent? Is it a circuitous seduction, so to speak?
It usually doesn't start as that. It starts as like innocent conversation and asking them, you know, how their day is or little cues, I guess, that they don't get in their home life is where everything starts kicking off.
All right. Well, here's a question I have for you. So this sounds like, you know, you're meeting somebody, you find out about it, and eventually you go and you guys have sex. But do you have an arrangement with any repeat customers?
It's usually sporadic.
Okay.
I guess whenever, you know, they go out for girls' night or they have their girls' night out.
Right.
They'll show up at this establishment I work at, and
I'll be like, hey, you know, what are you doing after last call?
And these are repeat customers, though? That's what I'm asking.
A lot of them, yes.
Okay.
There's newer ones. And
wow.
The guys get the bad rep that they're always out trying to, you know, cheat on their girlfriends or wives or whatever. And women are just as bad.
Bob, really?
Let me ask you this, Bob. There must be a point where you know where to recognize and how to recognize the signals, right? Like early on, you'll say, I probably have a chance with this one, right?
Correct.
And where in your mind does it switch to say, all right, I'm going to go for it?
Usually when they're getting ready to cash out.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, somebody texted him, want to know if you worked at Guppies or not.
No.
Okay.
Let me ask you then. So you're...
Kathy likes men and...
Listen, I have a sandwich there that's named after me. You can eat me there.
Oh, my God.
My sandwich. What are you talking about?
So you probably have some interesting insight about what women are complaining about when what they're not getting from men in their life. What do you hear most often?
It's usually affection or just the general small talk. Like, hey, how's your day? You know, what's going on? What can I do for you today? Just the small things, the details that, you know, I often get overlooked.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of being overlooked by their own husband.
But want attention.
Yeah. Aren't you working at this point, or do you take five?
No, we're working.
Right. But have you ever taken five, slipped out to a car, taken care of business real quick, and gone back to work?
At work, no.
Okay.
No.
All right. You're a good bartender.
Yes, that's it.
You're a good boy.
I'm waiting on my drink.
Did you say good boy?
You're a good boy.
You're a good boy.
Good boy.
See you, guppies.
See you, guppies.
Bob, it's interesting. I'm sorry we got to wrap, but thank you for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Hey, have a great weekend, dude. Have a great weekend. All right, we need to break, yes, because we do indeed have money to give away.
Yeah.
And we need to figure out our arrangements.
Yes, we're going to work on our own arrangements, and we'll get the bizarre file as well. Don't forget, it's a chock-full day today because we are going to give away some tickets for the MMRBQ. They go on sale at 10 a.m. We will give away tickets for Eggs with Peg. That's coming up Friday, May 28th. When do these go? These go on sale Monday.
Yep.
Because it's a ticketed event this year, lower numbers, and they have to make sure that they're adhering to the restrictions. So we'll do some giveaways with that. And we have a lot of guests, Dave Navarro being one of them.
Yes.
Of Jane's Addiction, who will be at the MMRBQ. So we'll come back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for a Preston and Steve Money Clip. Now, here's your Money Clip keyword.
The word is only, O-N-L-Y, and you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. Three ways to do it. You should know this by now, but I'll help you along anyway. Text it, the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, then enter it via the MMR app at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. And that person's going to get a call from our company, Beasley. So make sure that you do answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It is sponsored by Hyundai City. And once again, the word is only, O-N-L-Y. Enter that now. Good luck to you. Text I'm going to pass along. Nick just highlighted here. It says, morning, guys. Definitely a no sad bro Friday. We just had a baby.
Oh!
So Jared and Amanda just had their baby this morning. Congratulations.
That's
and
awesome.
Nick asked what the name of the baby is, and they just texted in. Thanks. It's Gabriella Lou Towalski. Gabriella. I love that name.
Lou? Aww.
Yeah, Lou. L-O-U.
Who's Lou?
I
don't know. Who is Lou?
Who's Lou?
Hey, who's Lou?
Speaking of it being a no sad bro, we posted something on our Instagram page. It was a it was some artwork that I had done last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Thank you for mentioning this.
Yeah.
Casey and, I think all of us here in the studio love our power washers.
Oh, they're awesome.
Our pressure washers.
They're amazing.
And, Casey, you were working on a fence. You were cleaning.
Oh, my God.
Stripping it.
Sometimes you have no idea how dirty something is until you start power washing. And
yep.
And so I was power washing a fence in my backyard that had never been taken care of before. And I realized that, I could actually create some artwork through cleaning with the power washer. So I did a couple of different pieces because I had a long, long fence line. So I drew a penis, of course,
yeah.
And then I drew a smiley face, and then I drew No Sad Bro. And I thought, man, I would love to see what somebody could do that actually has artistic capabilities.
Okay. And so you want to put it out there, and you want to see a Preston and Steve themed artwork if you're cleaning. And you can do this on the ground as
Doesn't
well.
Doesn't matter. Yes.
I pull up some artwork of driveways that have been power washed by, artists who are using one. And it's ridiculous what you can do if you've got talent.
Whatever you can do. And you cannot help once you get that power washer going. Oh, look, I can draw with this.
Yeah.
And then you had things that are old that you're going to cast off into the ether
yeah.
are suddenly born anew as they become clean. It's a wonderful piece of equipment.
And if you have a decent power washer, you have different
nozzle settings
yeah. and that you can use.
For shading yeah. and for eyebrows and for microblading, whatever you want.
Listen, there are people out there who are probably surgeons with these things. I would love to see some sort of Preston and Steve, actual art, not what I've created.
No, or if you can't do art, just write our names and whatever. Some kind of, or a Preston and Steve themed.
Write the C word.
One of the sayings or whatever it may be. And then what do we want them to do with that? Post it on social?
Post it on social. If you go to our Instagram page, which is Preston and Steve Show, at Preston and Steve Show, you can see there's some hashtags on there. So we want you to hashtag the joy of power washing and hashtag power washing challenge.
We thought about making this a contest, and then we realized maybe nobody will do it.
Yeah.
So why do we want to do that? So we want to just see if people would even try this in the first place, if there are enough listeners that have power washers and a dirty driveway or fence or whatever it may be, and we'll do Preston and Steve themed artwork. And if we do indeed see it and it looks pretty cool and there's enough, maybe we could do a contest down the road with that.
This is perfect because the first Olympics was just a casual social media thing.
Right.
And then it took off.
Yeah, it took a couple of years, it eventually hit. And look what it is.
Look what
today.
It is now. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
All right, so check our Instagram page. You can see the artwork that Casey did. Is it on our Twitter account too, Marissa? Or just, she's kind of nodding. Or it will be, sure. I guess. So anyhow, take a look
it
when you can.
It will be.
That was one of my favorite moments yesterday. Yeah.
So out of nowhere.
Just a bizarre, yeah.
What did you say yesterday?
She will be. She will be. She will be.
Yeah. Because it's when Luke says he's not scared of Darth Vader or whatever.
Right.
I'm not scared of you.
Yeah. I'm not as scared.
Yeah.
You think you're so cool?
All right, so pressure washer art. Get on it. Preston and Steve Towel. Let's do the bizarre file.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's bizarre file.
Brought to you by Mulch Works of Aston. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil that is manufactured on site. And they also have leaf compost, decorative stone, pavers, and more. Mulch Works has delivery or pickup for residential and commercial markets. So visit mulchthis.com for details. State police in Pennsylvania say that a man with suspected cocaine and methamphetamine was arrested last week while he was shooting fireworks at his neighbor's house. Yeah, troopers say that they were called to a home on Thursday for reports of a man shooting fireworks toward a home. Troopers arrived to find 41-year-old Timothy Box,
41,
who appeared to be under the influence of a controlled substance due to him sweating profusely, acting erratically, and hallucinating.
That's my father!
Troopers say that they questioned Box, and during the conversation, he reached into his pocket, which prompted troopers to restrain him. During the scuffle, Box and two troopers fell on a porch they were standing on, but troopers were eventually able to handcuff him. They say they found 3.5 grams of suspected cocaine and 6.5 grams of suspected methamphetamine in his pocket. Troopers say they also found a pocket knife in the same pocket that he had reached into during questioning. Now, investigators spoke with neighbors who said Box had been shooting fireworks toward a nearby home with people inside, and they were afraid that the fireworks would catch the home on fire.
Any indication if these were people he was feuding with, or no, did he just pick them randomly?
I think he was just whacked out of his mind.
You're the lucky ones.
Box was charged with a list of offenses. An argument in the carpool lane at Meadowcliff Elementary School Tuesday ended after a woman pulled a gun on another parent.
Oh, my God.
According to Little Rock Police, a black Yukon with red rims cut off three other vehicles who were waiting to pick up children. Investigators noticed in the police report when one of the drivers pulled alongside the Yukon, the suspect pointed a gun at the man and his son and said, "Next time," before leaving.
Woo, come on!
Elementary
school.
School officials have requested an officer return Wednesday to ban the suspect from the school grounds.
Next time.
A taxi driver in the UK saved a cat's life, did it with style. Photos shared by the Derbyshire police show a Toyota hatchback that had become partially perched on top of another vehicle, on a Jeep, when the driver had allegedly swerved to avoid a cat in a narrow street. It was not reported how fast the Toyota was going when it ran into the Jeep and rode up onto the hood, leaving it at a precarious angle with the right side driver's seat on the low side. Police report that no one was harmed and they didn't find an injured cat anywhere, but they tried to get around it.
The cat's okay!
Yeah. Yo, joy.
Yeah.
I love this story. Kids in Amazon. There's been moments where things have happened.
Yes.
And a 4-year-old cartoon fanatic from Brooklyn recently purchased nearly $3,000 worth of non-refundable SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
A friend of the boy's mom set up a GoFundMe on Monday to help cover the cost. She writes on the page that the truly adorable SpongeBob fan named Noah managed to purchase $2,618.85 worth of the popsicles from Amazon and had them sent to his auntie's house. She adds, in case you were wondering, that's 51 cases containing 918 popsicles. As of Wednesday morning, kind donors had already contributed over $5,000, eclipsing the fundraising goal of $2,619. Noah's grateful mother wrote a note thanking people for their generosity and added that the surplus of donations will go towards education and additional supports for her son, who is living with autism spectrum disorder. So the kid just wanted a popsicle
and, boy,
and he ordered like 900 of them. This is an interesting story. I don't know why I put this in the bizarre file, but I'm going to leave it here. A startup company has developed an alternative to ashes after cremation, has announced the close of a $1.3 million speed-up capital raise that they did. The Santa Fe-based company called Parting Stone develops solidified remains, which provides families with an alternative to receiving ashes following human or pet cremation. The company returns cremated remains as collections of smooth objects similar to stones. They're almost like river stones. They're kind of flat.
That's kind of cool.
I think so, too, Steve. I thought this was kind of cool.
Well, it says for pets and for people. We have a whole bunch of small little boxes with pet ashes in it. But if you had something that provided you the tactile...
Agreed.
You know, for whatever connection you want.
I agree.
Or you could taxidermy your loved ones.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But the raise was announced on Tuesday, and it brings Parting Stone's total financing to $1.9 million. So they say that these Parting Stones can be shared, displayed, held, or scattered. Whatever you want to do with them.
Yeah. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I know somebody that can blow glass with it.
Yeah.
With,
but takes it out to dinner first.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That also, anything like that, because I have my mother's ashes, and it's, you know, when my dad passes away, they're going to be united, basically, in the afterworld or whatever. And but it just sits there. I would love to have something that I could, you know.
Yeah. So look into this. Parting Stones is what it's called. All right. And then this story is for one man and one man only. And the first line says it all. Five chickens abandoned in a box outside of a Cedar Rapids Thiessen's, which is a grocery store, are now...
Listen, everybody, the concert will have to wait. I've been called.
What kind of situation do we have?
Five chickens abandoned in a box outside of... In Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to book a flight. I'll see you in a little while.
Outside of a grocery store.
Secure the situation. I'll bring the dipping sauce.
Well, they're now safe in a new home.
Excellent.
The chickens were found Sunday, crammed in a box outside of the store.
This is Gene Simmons. We have a chicken situation. I need 2 units on location. Stat.
Put a bolo out on 5 chickens. They were left...
Put the chicken on the phone.
They were left in the heat with a sign listing them as free. So, rescuers said that the chickens didn't have room...
No chicken is free until we're all free.
The chickens didn't have room to move and had defecated on each other. Some people who noticed the abandoned chickens called Critter Crusaders to help out. And then Critter Crusaders got in touch with the Iowa Farm Sanctuary, who ultimately ended up taking in the chickens. A guy named Sean Camp, the executive director of the Farm Sanctuary, said it is not illegal to abandon chickens in this way. He said they don't deserve to be dumped in a box, so if we can make better laws for all farm animals, that would be great. But certainly for the birds, because they have no protection under federal law.
Is it legal to chainsaw your mother's head off?
No.
Oh, well, then this should be illegal.
Yeah, so the chickens are all estimated to be around 3 weeks old, but they're safe and sound now.
See the graphic that Greg from our Grin and Greg did for us? It's a chicken with the Gene Simmons kiss boots.
Yes, and his face makeup as well.
It's great.
It's just his chicken. Like the KISS logo. All right. And that is what I have in the bizarre
nice.
File. All right, so, wow, you got about a minute left to enter the word only for the President Steve Money Clip. So get on that now. The word is only if you've missed it, O-N-L-Y. And we want you to win that $500. Another shot at that later on at 10. There's a lot of things happening at 10. Not only are we giving away another $500, but we have the MMRBQ tickets going on sale, and we're going to talk to Dave Navarro. So 10 a.m., a big time this morning on the show. We'll take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Hey, it's Pamela.
And Marty.
And we're the sisters behind Massmart Mac and Cheesery, located in Rittenhouse at 18th and Chestnut. From four wheels to four walls, we've been scooping bowls of our 7-cheese mac and cheese for over 8 years. Want your mac topped with ribeye, spinach dip, buffalo chicken, crab, and more? Let us make your mac and cheese dreams come true. Use our handle, at the Mac Mart, to check out hundreds of cheesy combinations and comfort food creations on our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Or even better, come visit us to get your Mac on.
Next message.
Hey, this is John.
And Kevlin.
From Synergy Physical Therapy and Rehabilitation in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, who have been serving the general public in Delaware County for the last 10 years to do all of your rehabilitation needs. Reach us
at synergypt-rehab.com.
WMMR Rock!
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
I think I want to share with you guys some things that I noticed over the past few days. Yeah, I think it's time.
The Noticer is back for the Friday edition of The Noticer, which happens on Friday.
It does. And no sad, bro. And I was excited because there was a video making the rounds yesterday. Steve, I know you saw this, and it is so cool. We've seen this before, but not like this capacity. The British Royal Navy apparently has been testing using jet suits to board ships and to eventually use in, you know, military situations. The tests were conducted over 3 days on the HMS Tamar, a Royal Navy Batch 2 River-class offshore patrol ship. So we've seen this suit used before.
Yeah.
But I not the way they did it on this video.
Here's the ultimate test. I showed it to my wife, who, you know, a lot of times could care less about this stuff. She goes, oh, my God, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
So they're the Marines that are using it, and they're chasing after there's three boats that are chasing after this ship.
Yeah,
and they're in a scenario as if it's like a pirate situation where the boat's been taken over, and they have this guy in the suit on the front of this boat. He takes off on the suit, and his job is to go and land on this other ship. And then he puts a ladder, a rope ladder down the side so that the troops can climb up on and do what they need to do. So it's there to be able to help them get an immediate connection and get on board. And so he flies over like freaking Iron Man.
So he's
just like Iron Man.
If you've ever seen it, there are basically jets attached to the lower part of his forearm and his hands. And exactly just like repulsor rays, Preston, lifting off that way. And he flies over very skillfully, lands down. I assume I was trying to judge the volume of this thing as it's flying. I couldn't quite get a handle on it, but it's amazing.
Got to be loud. But he's got jets on his pack on the back as well, so he controls the direction.
Yeah,
and it's so cool. I wasn't expecting to see this type of application already because I remember seeing this not that long ago when they used this. But the Royal Marines used the Gravity Industries jet suit to conduct what they call a visit board search and seizure, or VBSS, and it they launched and then he lands and then on the enemy vessel and then puts this rope over the side and the suit if the suit of the creators do sound or seem familiar, it's because the company had been demonstrating its tech for a while now. Though in the past, Gravity Industries CEO Richard Browning has been in the pilot seat. The suits seem to have been streamlined since the earlier demonstrations.
Yes, they do.
Smaller arm rockets and a sleeker backpack jet, which is more fitting for whatever sci-fi movie vibe Gravity Industries seems to be cultivating. So
it's something that you would think was a special effect if you didn't know it was real.
Yeah.
And that's how cool it is.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So I think that this might be part of the future of military tech.
I would try that over the water.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Over the water.
Over the water.
But I would try that because it is definitely much smaller than the original version of it. And what I would do, Preston, I'd put, like, guns on the thing so that when you landed, if people were running up to you, you could push a button on the side of whatever you're holding on to inside that thing and start shooting, and you're just like Captain America and Iron Man together.
Fire away.
Preston, you got pretty good at iFly, and you did it a lot when you were into it. Mm-hmm. I tried it twice, I think. I was not very good. Do you think that those skills would translate to something like this? Because it's so much about, like, positioning of your hands and airflow and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's a different, you know, the airflow is going a different way. But, yeah, I could see that because in that tunnel, in the iFly tunnel, you move your hands or position your body or your posture in a certain way, and it really affects where you're going to go.
It would
be similar. I would imagine little bitty movements with this thing is going to adjust or is going to affect your movement.
I would imagine, though, in a way, it would be like holding yourself up between parallel bars because that's what you're doing.
You'd have to have some upper
body strength to hold you. Yeah, because that's what you're doing. You're pushing off against the rockets that are lifting you up.
Well, those aren't the main. I think that's just to steer you, Steve. I think the main thrust comes from your back.
Really?
Yeah. So he's got all kinds of stuff
What's blowing out of the backside there that's lifting him up?
What's blowing out of the backside?
Like in other words, where's yeah?
There he is.
So. I think that those
mainly the
hand things
the steering?
Are steering, for steering.
Huh,
And the main pack, the thrust seems to be on the back.
Well, they have that really contained then. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. So so maybe we'll see more of this and whole troops of people flying around. It reminds me a little bit of Minority Report.
Yes.
Because all the cops had those jet packs in that movie.
You know, the hoverboard, you still remember that thing that the French military was using, and they were using it for their military demonstration a few years ago? They've refined that. And Nick, maybe you can do a little checking on it, but there was a guy who was like off a Sunset Strip that was on one, and apparently you can buy one for like $20,000 20.
When it legitimately hovers,
that does.
I remember
like that.
They made a pretty limited version, but I don't remember the military doing that. That'd be pretty damn cool.
Almost like in the first Spider-Man movie, the Green Goblin, right. That sort of device, and the military was using something that was like that.
Oh yeah, here you go, jet powered flyboard.
Yeah.
Is what Nick found. Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty damn cool too.
When did we get to play with these toys?
Where does he get wonderful toys?
All right, let me see what else. I did notice some other things.
More for the noticer. He never stops noticing.
Notice this story that Steve sent to me. City University of New York researchers tested how much cats love boxes.
Oh, my God. It's insane.
By putting what's called a Kinesa square.
Oh, I did this.
Okay, you did.
On the floor?
Yes.
Wait, what's a Kinesa
square? All right, describe what you did.
Well, I used tape. And yes. I just taped a box on the floor to see if the cat would go over and sit in it. One went over, sniffed around, looked at it, sat in it for like a second, and then left. But apparently this study, they will like sit in there for a little while, I think.
Yes. Yes. So this this Kinesa square, which is basically four Pac-Man-like wedges placed to create what looks like the corners of a square on the ground to see if what they would do. And it turns out cats responded to the optical illusion the same way that humans do, by filling in the gaps between the perceived corners to see the illusion of a square. And the cats sat in the squares as often as they sat in real squares during the course of the experiment.
Huh. So if you just took, like, let's say painter's tape and painted a square on the floor.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Oh, okay. So when you said I taped a box, I thought you meant you actually took a cardboard box.
Oh, yeah. No, she taped a square down on the
floor.
A square
on the floor.
Right, with the tape. And just the image of that, for some reason, because cats will always go into a box. It doesn't matter how shallow the box is.
Or how tiny it is.
Or how tiny it is.
But even this, in this experiment, there's not even a box. These are like these Pac-Man-shaped cutouts. And they put them up in the corners as if there was a box. There's not even lines. It just implies that there is a box there, and the cats will still be drawn to the center of it. Now, what I don't know is why they do that. I don't know what if they have understanding as to why it is, but it suggests a study leader says that learning how animals perceive visual illusions adds to our understanding of vision across species and its interplay with mental processes and so on. They are drawn to that shape.
And for whatever reason, I think it's so funny. Like every time they shove themselves into the tiniest box, like I have to take a picture. Mm-hmm.
So Kathy, we have a very small napkin basket on the
and they sit in it.
Our cat Punky is sitting in it like you almost as if the impression is another cat had to come along and push her down into it. But that's it. And she's just looking like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something, there's got to be comforting.
Yes.
Maybe it goes back to the womb or something
it's
like that.
It's got to be.
To where they feel safe.
It's all that, I'm sure. Yes. The safety thing. You're in something. You're protected.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
So try that with your cat. Just pretend there's a box and on the floor and see if they will gravitate towards it. Speaking of cats, this other story that I noticed, Tiger King star Carol Baskin.
Yes.
She is, quote, and this is what she says, purring like a bobcat rolling in catnip after she launched her own cryptocurrency.
Oh, my God.
It's
what is it, Bascoin?
No, it's called Scat.
That's and crap.
I know, it's crap. And the S, though, is a dollar sign.
Ah.
S-C-A-T.
They're also calling it a currency.
A currency. Yeah. So this allows fans to buy merchandise or online experiences from Baskin's Big Cat Rescue Animal Sanctuary.
I mean, I'd love to kick her in her vagina.
For somebody who essentially got away with murder, she's doing pretty well for herself.
She is.
Yeah. And this is just another, I mean, listen, everybody's
getting it. Are you kidding me?
I guess, are we going to have our cryptocurrency soon?
Because
it seems like everybody's just jumping on. And, you know, she said, investigating cryptocurrencies. She is investigating them because I'm concerned about the volume of U.S. dollars that are being printed and distributed with nothing to back them up.
Yeah, that's what she's worried about.
Right?
Yeah, she seems like a really deep thinker.
She said, our scat coin is not currency for investment, but rather a currency of our fans to show their love for the cats.
She needs to shut the puck up.
Big Cat Rescue says it will also launch non-fungible tokens in 2 weeks, and future plans include a Big Cat Metaverse.
I gotta imagine NASDAQ has their eye on this because, you know, obviously it's gonna break big.
So they're gonna create this Big Cat Metaverse for virtual visits with the cats, if you want to do that. So even she, Carol Baskin, is jumping on the cryptocurrency bandwagon.
He's a cat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I noticed some other things, and we're gonna stay in the animal world.
The notice is going all animal today, and we like it.
And you'll love this. The environment of our planet is changing, and it's bringing together polar bears and grizzly bears.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Live Science reports that these two species have been running into each other and mating with greater frequency in recent years.
Did you watch Jeopardy last night?
Yeah. No.
Jeopardy had one of the categories was the animals that mate and create these
hybrid
animals.
So hybrid like animal a liger, parents. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, well, hang on to that. I want to see the answers to that. So right. This one is now known as a pizzly.
Yeah.
Or a growler bear.
What would you go with, grizzly or?
Pizzly.
I would go with run!
What were the animal hybrid Jeopardy questions?
Can we
get I have them here.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Go ahead.
A marine mammal called the narluga.
It's a narwhal and a beluga whale.
Very good.
Yes.
Wow, okay. Jeez. The ferocious pizzly, they had that.
Yes.
Okay.
The third one is the humpless llama.
It's a camel and a llama.
Oh, very good.
Okay.
The yattle, an Asian beast of burden.
Which would be a yak and a cow?
Yeah. Cow, okay. Cattle, yep.
All right.
And then among birds, the swoos.
The swoos would be swan a goose and a swan.
They're not the same thing.
No.
No.
Not even close.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
But they can have a baby, apparently.
All right.
What the most amazing one was the swine, which is a swan and a lion.
That's crazy.
Now, that would be weird. I'd like to see that mating ritual.
Swine is amazing.
But it's nice to see all this interspecies
humping.
Love
going on.
Nice?
Yeah.
Okay. Really nice.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's evolution, man.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think you need to call it a pizzly or a growler. You could probably just call it a polar grizzly bear. You know, like, you don't have to match the names.
The polar bear is the largest of the bears, correct?
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then the Kodiak bear is just a bit bigger than a grizzly bear.
Okay.
And I believe how it shakes down.
I always get confused, Steve, because one is bigger and one is taller or something like that. Like the polar bear, I think, is the biggest, but the grizzly, Kodiak might
one
be
is
like...
One is a more prudent investor.
Right, okay. Yeah.
One has more length, the other one has more girth is what you're saying?
One is veinier and one is purple.
One's a grower and one's a shower.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about penises, guys.
Yeah.
Experts say it's possible that these hybrids may be able to forage for a broader range of food sources. I do think this is cool, Nick. I mean, you know, we have ligers. That's they're creating these
ligers
hybrid
were,
species.
I think liger was an actual. Was that a man made?
Created?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. The hybrid bears.
No more. I don't like them.
Have been.
I don't want to. I'm not into this.
Here's a cocktail.
Do it.
But I'm not in the mood.
I don't think lions and tigers exist in the wild
together.
Ever. So that's why it was created by them.
It looks weird. It's got stripes and stuff.
Yeah. The hybrid bears have been spotted as far back as 2006.
Have you ever seen a chub?
But their numbers are growing. No.
It's a cheetah and a dove?
Mm. Really?
Unbelievable.
Did you ever see a gorilla-tang?
A gorilla-tang?
Yeah, it's a gorilla and an orangutan. Is it orangutan or orangutan?
Orangutan.
Yeah.
There's no tang.
No, but I always said orangutan.
As did I
growing up, but it's spelled orangutan.
Tang is a drink for astronauts.
But that's not too far off the mark.
No. You could see, you get a little loose one evening in the jungle. Why not?
I like a redhead.
Right, yeah.
I've always wanted to be with a redhead.
What's going on with that ass?
Yeah.
Old orangey and saying, come on in.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anyhow, the pizzly, look for it. Here's another thing I noticed. I'm flying today.
You're using a plane.
I'm not using Delta Airlines, but it's a good idea to be on your best behavior when you're flying. And Delta Airlines is cracking down on unruly customers. The Atlanta-based carrier tightened its SkyMiles program's terms and conditions to include provisions around when a frequent flyer account might be terminated. So if you're bad behavior,
they can dock you points.
They'll take away all your miles, dude. Yeah. The new provision documented abusive behavior is, that's what it's called.
10 points, Gryffindor.
Is now grounds for expulsion from the program.
Huh.
Travelers who threaten, intimidate, or otherwise cross the line with Delta employees could have their accounts closed. That includes the possible forfeiture of all accumulated mileage credit, any unused and upcoming award or upgrade certificates, and all other associated membership benefits, including Medallion Elite status.
What is Medallion Elite status? That
it sounds
incredible.
Like the top of the top, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, do you get those flying hand jets that the Navy is using?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You could also be banned from flying with Delta in the future. In a statement, a carrier spokesperson said, respect and civility to others on our planes, at our airports, in our workplaces, and in our society have always been a requirement for our people and our customers. Nothing is more important than their safety. In the update to its new terms and conditions, Delta says examples of abusive behavior include personal threats, profanity, obscene language, insults or slurs directed to a Delta employee or ambassador, and it also covers any intentional destruction to Delta property. It also applies across the travel journey from interactions with Delta's reservations or customer care phone center to its gate agents, flight attendants, ground handlers, arrival terms. So if
that's pretty much every goddamn thing way you can interact with them.
If you're mean on the phone,
yeah,
they can dock you.
Did Delta, from the beginning of the pandemic, did they follow through on their promise to keep the middle aisle seats empty, or did they not?
For a stretch. And
yeah.
then they caved, American caved.
Right.
And then I believe Southwest was
shoulder
the last.
To shoulder with the people you're, yeah.
Yeah. And then they pack you in like sardines.
Right.
So that means when you're upset about a refund, have an issue with a flight, it'll be important to remain civil and calm when speaking with Delta.
Until it's important to not be calm.
Yeah. Thank you, Dalton. In fact, that should be the airline. Dalton Airlines.
What if they call my mother a whore?
Is she? Instead of Delta, it's Dalton. Man, I thought this plane be bigger.
I've never heard that before.
You want to avoid violating the new abusive behavior clause. And if this works out for them, I'll bet you the other airlines will follow suit.
Who has the best points for flying? It's been so long since there's been traveling.
What
program is the best?
I do American because it's a hub in Philadelphia. They fly pretty much everywhere, so we're on the rewards program.
Did you see the article I sent over to you concerning that mm-hmm. there is going to be more nonstop flights out of Philadelphia this year? They're increasing them by like 35-40%.
Yay.
So if in some cases, like my wife travels a lot, she'd have to go up to Newark
mm-hmm.
and fly out of there to avoid, you know.
That airport sucks.
Yeah, I know. So, but there is a whole bunch of new, I think it's, this pertains to something different. But anyway, yeah, that's going to make it a lot easier to fly out of Philadelphia. Yeah.
I know, Preston, you have a Marriott credit card. I have an American Airlines credit card. And so I get points for every dollar I spend. And I'm using those points this summer to fly.
Right.
And it was super easy. Sometimes they're kind of restrictive on the miles, you know.
Blackout dates and stuff like that.
The dates and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I actually, believe it or not, I was able to cash in for class privileged. And it was one of those things where, like, it's totally worth it, you know?
Yep. Rewards programs are great, but same thing with, like, the Marriott thing. I'm like, I thought I could just use them for any time I wanted to.
You can't. Preston, I have
very specific.
Like a trillion bonus points from one of my credit cards. To apply them to anything that I would use or want is virtually impossible. So it means nothing to me.
Get what you can, though, because you're entitled to those.
Yes,
so even if you've got to jump through a couple of hoops, you should use them, man.
Every time I sit down, I actually get a full-blown aneurysm trying to figure out how to.
And that's why I changed. I was so sick of not being able to use the airline miles and then finding hotels that you're not going to get, you know, points for it and all this kind of stuff. So I have the credit card that just gives cash back points. I get cash back. That's it.
That's cool. The Amazon card that just gives me Amazon points.
Amazon points.
We have a Citibank, I think it's a Citibank card, MasterCard. And it's a rewards program, but it's like Steve. It's like a catalog of just stuff.
That's cool.
Things.
That's cool.
And that's been kind of fun because
they have laser sighted slingshots?
Yes, they do.
There we go.
You can't get them sent to Pennsylvania.
Son of a bitch.
Unfortunately. All right. I have a sad thing that I noticed, but I want to pass this along.
It's an in memoriam section of the noticer.
Yeah, somebody did die. A woman who went viral for her love of beer during the lockdown passed away. You may remember Olive Veronese. Veronese, I think it's how you say her name. She's from Seminole, Pennsylvania.
I don't remember her.
So she if you saw the picture, you probably would. So she got COVID, and she was holding up a dry erase board that read, "I need more beer."
I do remember her. Okay. Yeah.
She went viral. She was one of the early viral things. It was last April, and a local TV station had posted on their Facebook page, and Coors ended up showing up at her house with 150 beers for her, which is really sweet. She turned 94 last Friday, and she passed away. I don't know what the nature of her death was, but she was 94. So, but yeah, she was
getting it on.
They sent her all this beer. It was really sweet, and her birthday was last Friday. She had a beer on her 94th birthday. So I thought that was sad.
Biggest joy of my life was listening to Preston and Steve.
No. All right, I can't end on that.
No. You need something more
that inspires us.
The wrap up.
Notice she's now going to inspire us with an incredible story.
I don't.
You won't believe how good this story is.
Oh, no.
And how inspiring it'll be. If you've been in the doldrums lately, this is going to turn you around.
Okay.
And set you on the right path. You'll give up your addictions.
If you're a Twitter user, Twitter announced a new tip jar feature yesterday, which lets people send money to their favorite users.
Okay. What could go wrong?
Well,
Twitter said it's currently only making it available to a limited number of people who it described as creators, journalists, experts, and nonprofits.
And chicks who take their clothes off.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
But anyone who uses Twitter in English can send tips to those accounts, and Twitter says that it won't get a cut of it.
I am stunned at, have any of you seen the special on the OnlyFans phenomenon?
Yeah.
I think it's on Hulu.
It is.
Holy hell, the money to be had.
Yeah.
Yep. If only I felt comfortable showing my breasts.
Mm.
Did you see that Twitter purchased the ad blocker that Twitter uses? Or that's used on Twitter?
Oh, no way. So they will render it useless?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Twitter, all of these companies sell your data. They say they don't.
That's funny.
They say they don't monitor the various devices in your home. Of course they do. It just cracks me up.
Yeah.
The invasive nature of what they do. But the truth of the matter is, you have an option. You don't have to use any of them. So here, as I'm saying this and railing against it, I still use them.
Yeah.
So there you go. So who's the idiot here? It's me.
We all are.
Yeah.
I had said, when it comes to like Eagles season tickets,
right.
Sixers season tickets, like especially for the Eagles, like I would love it if they did what Disney does and they have those wristbands. And just all of your stuff is on that wristband. And so when I had suggested that, there were a couple of other people who are, you know, way more knowledgeable about this stuff than I am. And they were like, what they really could and should do is have like Amazon or any of these, you know, giant conglomerates actually kind of run that because they're in the information business, right?
Right.
So they can actually track you and your payments and all that sort of stuff. But I think, you know, like, they're tracking me. For me personally, I'm like, they're tracking me anyway.
They track me all the time.
They track me all the time.
I'm tracked everywhere.
I am not getting rid of it.
I'm over-tracked.
Just tracking.
Tracking here, tracking here. You go and they track you. Were you tracking me? This guy's tracking me, too.
So I'm kind of like
tracked.
I'm not even fighting it anymore.
Burned.
I've already given up. I've submitted. Presented my butthole to them and said, here, have at it.
Yeah. Oh, enjoy!
What did you just say?
Yeah. Here's my butthole, track it!
I have presented my butthole to them.
Yes.
Have at it.
Okay. Whatever.
I can be surveilled 200 different ways in my own home.
Yeah.
Oh, no sad, bro.
That's like the funny argument about, you know, from anti-vaxxers or whatever. Like, you're already being tracked on every device in your house,
right.
You know? Like, it's insane.
If you have a phone, you're being tracked, my friend. All right, well, anyhow, we got to wrap it up because we got people to talk to. That's all I have time. That's all I noticed. I didn't notice anything else. Yeah. Stop tracking me.
Stop tracking him.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to get actor Holt McCallany on the program. And he is promoting Wrath of Man. Then we have comedian Chappelle Lacey and Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction will be joining us, too. Don't forget the tickets for that show, the Jane's Addiction. We'll be at the MM Barbecue. Go on sale at 10. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents...
You answered the phone. Who the F is this, right?
Yeah, I did.
Preston and Steve's Money Clips.
The phone kept ringing, and then I kind of lost it a little bit. So I'm beyond embarrassed.
Don't worry, it's our little secret.
Your shot at stuffing $500 in your Money Clip.
I never win anything. I can't believe it.
Up to 7 times a day. Weekdays.
You made my week.
I sure the f*** hope we have.
See official rules and details at WMMR.com.
Congratulations, and thank you so much for listening.
MMR rocks. Thank you very much.
Sponsored by Hyundai City, South Jersey's official Hyundai headquarters.
93.3 WMMR.
Take care.
You too. Thank you.
F*** off.
You too.
Everything.
Who the f*** is this?
That rocks.
Our next guest has a lot of stuff coming out. He's got a few movies on the way. He's here to promote one, though, called Wrath of Man.
Yeah.
Jason Statham in this movie as
love
well.
Love that, with Guy Ritchie directing.
Lots of action, as you can imagine. Now, love this guy's work. Mindhunter, I'm a huge fan of.
So
now,
good.
I'm a little embarrassed because I want to make sure I pronounce his last name correctly. I turn to you, Nick McElwain.
Mm-hmm.
How would you pronounce?
I would say McElhaney.
McElhaney?
Yes, but I'm probably wrong.
Not McElhaney?
I don't know.
I would say McElhaney.
We're going to find out.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Holt McElhaney or McElhaney to the show.
Hey!
I know you've heard it all your life, man, but
how do I do.
I want to get that correct. How do you do it?
Oh, listen, it's no problem. I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be with you.
No problem, man. We're happy to have you on. Is it McElhaney, by the way?
It is Holt McElhaney. Yeah. I should have changed it, you know, many, many years ago, but I remember I was a boy in school in Ireland, and I was 15 years old, and I had snuck into a pub, and I was talking to this old man, and you know, and he said, "You want them to trip over it like Arnold Schwarzenegger."
that's awesome, Holt.
So I said, "Well, listen, if he can become a star with a name like Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe I can become a star with a name like Holt McElhaney."
Well, Preston said at the beginning of the whole deal that we're fans of a lot of the stuff that you do, and you play in this movie, Wrath of Man. You play a character named Bullet. And I believe that you'd be the first guy to play a character named Bullet since Steve McQueen.
Well, look, you know, that you are, and you would be the first person to make that observation. But I'll tell you a quick story. My mother was also an actress who did some movies in Hollywood and starred on Broadway in many productions. And one of the people that she did a movie with and a Broadway show with was the first wife of Steve McQueen, a woman named Neal Adams.
Yeah.
And Neal Adams was one of my mother's closest friends for my entire life. And occasionally, when I was a little boy, Neal would come to the house to visit my mom. And on one occasion, Steve was with her.
Wow.
And I remember, like, how, like, you know, infatuated I was with this guy, with this quality that he had. He was so cool and he was so captivating. And I think that it was really that young that I decided that I was going to become an actor. And, you know, and he is one of the guys that I've always really admired, you know, and even now, so many decades after his death, you know, he's still regarded internationally as one of the really the most important American movie stars of
I'm right with you. I adore him, and I love seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, him being depicted at his prime time. It was just great. I wanted to bring up Guy Ritchie is a filmmaker we all love, and working with him had to be really cool because he pulls together, at least by my reckoning, a lot of times the casts are very macho, which is okay. And there's a lot of action, a lot of swagger to his films, but there always seems to be sort of a fraternal atmosphere on his movies. Is that what you experienced?
Yes, I think that's all fair. And, you know, and I think it all comes from Guy and from his personality. You know, I've said this before in a couple of interviews, but, you know, he's more than just a filmmaker. You know what I mean? It's like in the way that Ralph Lauren is more than just a guy who makes clothes.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a whole sensibility. There's a whole style, a whole worldview. And, you know, and you kind of get that with Guy. He loves these elegant gangsters. You know what I mean? He loves tough guys in expensive custom-made suits.
Well, that
he, you know, he really does. And he loves colorful characters, and he loves clever dialogue, you know what I mean? And the kind of banter and camaraderie that you see, and it's infectious.
He's got his own style, so I liken him to people like Tarantino, like John Woo,
yeah,
and like his understanding of action. And I wanted to ask you, Hope, because Richie himself is a martial artist. How much sway does he have over... I know there's always stunt coordinators and things on a film, but how is in the physicality of the movie and a movie like this, is he putting his two cents in?
Yeah. Look, you know, it's a Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah.
And Guy is very much, very much in charge. And what that means is that, you know, the stunt coordinator, we had great stunt guys, and we really did, very talented guys. You know, the British guys, there's nobody tougher and smarter and more well prepared. But that doesn't mean that they might not come and present something to Guy that Guy isn't happy with. And
right.
He'll change the whole thing right there, right before we shoot it. You know, he's a tremendously confident guy about his creative instincts. And, you know, that's what has gotten him to where he is. Do you see what I mean? So,
yeah.
So he is absolutely unafraid to make major changes right there on the spot. If, you know, if something, you know, has been, has prepared for him by the stunt department that he doesn't think is working, it's out. So, you know, how much of a stamp does Guy put on it? I mean, you know, it's all Guy.
Well, the plot of the movie is from what I understand, it's a remake of a film. I think it's called Cash Truck.
So just to stop you, right? It's a remake of a very good French film called Le Convoyeur.
Okay.
And Le Convoyeur starred a fabulous French actor named Jean Dujardin, who you will probably remember because he won the Academy Award for Best Actor a few years ago for a film called The Artist.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's So it's Albert Dupontel and Jean Dujardin. And Jason Statham is in the Albert Dupontel part, and I'm in the Jean Dujardin part. But you know, because I lived in France for many years, I went to college over there, and I act sometimes in French films. So I was aware of the original film, and I've always liked Jean Dujardin. You know, because he's got a really interesting, very engaging quality as an actor. And so I was personally, you know, when I was chosen to play, you know, kind of his role in the English language remake, I was really happy about that.
So to distill it down, because we want to talk to you as well about Mindhunter and everything. It is basically Jason Statham's character. His son is murdered, and he begins exacting revenge. Would that be a safe, high concept way to present the plot?
Yes. Goes undercover at an armored car company to try to discover who was responsible for a heist that eventually inadvertently led to the death of his only son.
Okay.
And this is, by the way, for those who aren't aware, it is out in theaters today. I'm going to do some giveaways for a screening of that we have. And I know we don't have much time, Holt, but we definitely want to touch on Mindhunter, and I've watched both seasons twice over now, and I'm dying for the third. And I remember reading a while back that it was either you or Jonathan Groff had some commitments and therefore had to delay the third season, and then COVID came along. Is there any update as to when you guys might get back to that?
Well, look, you know, first of all, you know, it's all up to my friend David Fincher. You know, David is our executive producer and is the creative force behind the show. Look, you know, both Jonathan and myself, I know, you know, would have made sure to keep our schedules clear to come back and do Mindhunter season three. And frankly, as many seasons as David wanted to do, because it's an amazing show. We're very proud of it. Audiences really liked it. And but you know, it's also you know, it's a difficult show to make. It was a lot of work, and you know, and I think you know, David wanted to take a break from it. You know, there were some rumors in the press recently that that some discussions about a possible third season were taking place, but I don't know if there's any veracity to that. You know, I'm just grateful that we got to make two seasons of the show. People love the show. And if Netflix wants to green light a third season and David wants to come back, you know, they won't have to ask me twice.
Well, if you don't make a third season, the FBI will be investigating me because you got to have it. We got to wrap up this BTK killer thing. All right. Holt, we're huge fans. Thanks for coming on this morning. Good luck with Wrath of Man, and down the road is The Ice Road and Nightmare Alley and all these other great projects. So we appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate it. And you know, please, to all your listeners out there, Wrath of Man is an exciting film. It's a fun ride. You'll definitely enjoy it. So please check it out.
You got it. Thank you, Holt McCallum.
Yay!
McElhenney. Got it right. And we do have some passes for this screening, and I can take... caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will set you up with that, 215-263-WMMR, and it opens today.
Preston.
So, which is cool.
We're giving away tickets to a theater screening of a movie.
An actual, in the theater movie. That's the first time that's happened in over a year.
Yeah. Gotta be, right?
Yeah. Has to be.
With this kind of thrust, with the major release.
Yeah.
Not like Monster Truck 8.
Didn't you tell me that... A Quiet Place 2 is going to be released in
a couple weeks. Yeah.
In theaters.
Yeah, theaters. Theaters only.
It's a great sign.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go to the movies.
I am as well. I love it. And you're going to get a lot of people, you know, who are just... listen, when the whole Marvel thing announcing the next phase came out, and they started it off with the reaction of a movie theater audience just to the final scenes in Endgame, you remember what that experience is like, to hear that crowd go nuts. And it's going to be great.
We got more guests.
Yeah, we do.
A little later on, we've got Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction joining us in about 45 minutes or so. And right now, we have somebody who's going to be appearing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and through the weekend. There are two shows each night, I believe, and you can go to heliumcomedy.com to get those tickets. Please welcome to the program, it's our first time talking to him, Mr. Chappelle Lacey.
Yay!
What up?
Hey, Chappelle.
That's a great round of applause there. I appreciate that.
We're doing what we can. There's a few of us here. We're happy to welcome you.
I feel like I'm on stage right now.
You know, I got to tell you, Chappelle, I was not that familiar with you leading up to this and doing the research on you. And both Casey and Preston, and we were all talking, you're a fascinating guy. And then checking out your stand-up, you're a very funny guy and naturally a comedic guy. But you're like a Swiss Army knife of stuff that's going on, and one of the things that just blew me away is your love of music and how essential music has been to your life, specifically punk music. And I was reading an interview with you where you basically say one of the seminal moments of your life was the first time you heard Mississippi Queen.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Wow, you guys did your research.
You have to, man.
Yeah. No, but it was that's so cool.
First off, when you said you got Dave Navarro coming on, I was like, wait. Let me cut that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when I was like, man, I had to be like, I don't know, 6 years old, maybe something like that. It's elementary school. I was real, real little. But my mom, whenever we were like cleaning up the house on like Saturday, she would always play music. You know, she wasn't playing rock, but she, you know, a lot of like old school R&B, a lot of funk, all that stuff. And so, you know, it was just such a happy, you know, time. And then every night, like late at night, I'd go in the living room and I'd listen to music like real low on the radio. And then I switched the radio station. I heard Mississippi Queen, and that was like, boom, just took me to another level of music.
That opening riff, I mean, it grabs you. You're like, dude, what is this?
Yeah. And then Leslie West's voice is just monstrous. So yeah, that was what did it for me.
So it propelled you forward. You were talking about how it was a bit of abuse going around in your earlier years, and that was sort of an outlet, and that was your joy. So I have to ask you,
Man, you guys really did your, what the hell?
Well, I think it's so cool because you're such a naturally funny guy with all this, with this kind of, you could have gone fully music. You could have been a morose bastard because of how your life went, and yet you're a naturally funny guy. So you got all these things that sort of on the periphery seem like therapy for you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, music was like the biggest escape. And like, honestly, the reason why I love punk so much, like that's, I consider punk my blood, because punk is what helped me like stand up for myself, like to like my, you know, stepfather at the time and stuff. So like that's what helped me, like, I don't know. Yeah, we all know like punk has that rebellion to it, and it just makes you understand your own individuality and how to think for yourself. And that's what made me like, you know, really take things like give me like this new perspective. It was like, and I say it's my blood because I'm like, oh, this was always in me. I just needed to find it.
Yeah, you know? I can completely see that.
Are you still in a band now, Lace?
Am I in a band now?
Yeah.
I do a little, you know, during the pandemic, actually, some comedians that are also into punk and also, you know, play instruments. We were like bored, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And, you know, practice spaces were actually still open. So we just would, you know, get in the practice space and just like cover some songs and stuff, which is like fun. And we've been doing it for a minute now. Hopefully, you know, maybe we can write some originals, because I've tried the whole band, and that shit is tough. I mean, that stuff is hard.
That's all right. That's okay. It is cool. And you made an observation, and Preston, you're going to love this, because I think this is something that we can all agree with. You're a huge fan of the movie Tombstone, and you say Doc Holliday is completely punk, right? And if you stop and think, we love Val Kilmer's performance. I have T-shirts that quote that movie. And so is that your favorite movie?
Wow. You guys know a lot about. Wow. Yeah. You know, I saw that movie when I was a kid, around the time it came out. I think it came out, what was it, 93, 94?
Around there. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just remember seeing that as a kid and, you know, being so gravitated towards that character. But I didn't know why I was so gravitated towards, you know, that Doc Holliday character. And then as I've gotten older, you know, over the years, I was like, I realized more and more and more, like, I was like, yeah, like, I was like, the dude's kind of like, he's punk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The way that, like, that was just my perspective on it. I see it differently, but like, you know, just his cadence and how he was, and just like, you know, the way he just, I don't know, just that delivery of everything.
No, he doesn't give a rat's ass, but what he does do is he gives a rat's ass about his friend, and he will do anything for his friend. He is unerringly loyal.
Loyalty. That was like a big thing, and, you know, and I just, you know, whenever I saw it, and yeah, like I said, as I got older, I just more and more and more, I was just like, yeah, that's, if there's one character I connect with in a movie, it's hands down, probably that. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Isn't that wild, Preston, to think? And he's right. Doc Holliday has a punk attitude.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. He wasn't like anybody else, for sure. He was doing his own thing.
That famous scene when they're in the bar and Johnny Ringo's like, you know, doing the gunslinging.
Yep.
And then he just takes a tin can and just flips it. Thing ever. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not scared. I love that. Love that.
It's nice. Great. Hey, I also, were doing our research, we came across the fact that you were in competitive cheerleading at the University of Louisville. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did that for like, I dropped out there, actually. That's where I started doing comedy.
Huh. That can be brutal. A lot of people have gotten past the dismissive, oh, you're a cheerleader. And then when you see those competitions, we did a story this a couple of years ago, and they were laying out the most injuries accrued across sports. And it turns out, like, competitive cheerleading, there are tons of injuries.
Well, he's essentially weightlifting, right? Yeah. Like, that's, you know, he's chucking these women in the air and catching them, and, you know, so, like, You're there as the base, and then these women are just absolute and insane acrobats.
Yeah, they're the flyers.
Yeah, and sometimes you know, sometimes they don't come down that easy. So, like, I remember one time we were at a Nationals, big Nationals in Florida, and we were doing our pyramid, and you know, the girl, like, flew wrong or whatever, and her foot stomped on my face. Oh. And I didn't even realize that. I just thought my eye was, like, watery, but there was blood coming out my eye. Like, we literally have to compete tomorrow, so I had to, like, luckily I didn't need any stitches, but I had to get, like, the glue or whatever, but there was just, like, blood dripping down my face. Yeah, but, like, yeah, it's a lot of crazy, crazy injuries. It's a lot of work, too. I mean, you know, just trying to throw some people in the air and catch them, and then also, like, you know, flipping your body around. Like,
yeah.
Tons of injuries.
Yeah, I think it's gotten to the point now where people realize it deserves mad props for physicality.
Yeah. Were you there just basically for muscle, or can you do, like, back handsprings and backflips and stuff like that?
Yeah, I can do all the backflips too. So originally, when I was like 5, I taught myself how to do backflips because I loved, like, martial art films.
Yeah,
and so I, you know, even those, like, old school, like, dub voices of the martial arts films.
Where yeah. They would, you
know, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I loved all that stuff. I would go out front and I just start flipping off, like, picnic benches. And then one day I just, like, did it all on the floor and just kept doing it ever since. And then when I was, like, 15, that's when I joined cheer.
Go ahead, Bruce.
All right, now, have you ever pulled off one of these acrobatic moves on stage at a comedy routine?
No, not during a routine. I've done it, like, after, like, you know, one time, like, a fan was like, do one, and I was like, all right, I you know, I have the basic, you know, back tuck, which is like backflip no hands or whatever, but yeah,
dude, that's like, cool. That's cool.
Yeah, that's about it though.
All right,
but well, but don't ask me.
We won't ask you. I gotta say though, your material is very funny, and you're and also it's very honest. You the audience really connects to you. You talk about time in you know, dealing with the anger issues and stuff, but you come out the other side, and you know, the stuff is very up. It's very cool. That's why we were all fascinated. Like, man, this guy's been through a lot of crap, and here he is, and he's very very casual, very candid. And you turned it all around into a good thing. So it's got to also be cool to be in front of.
That's what Punk taught me. It said, in a Ramones doc, it said, you take the bad things and you just turn it into something great.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you're in front of live audiences and doing what you're doing is got to be awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. It's fun. Listen, we all got one shot at this. Like, why, you know, dwell on something that already happened.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. No, good attitude.
All right. Helium Comedy Club tonight, 7:15, 9:30, and tomorrow night as well. You can get the tickets at heliumcomedy.com.
He's the Doc Holiday of comedy.
That's what we're going to see, the Doc Holiday of comedy.
Hey, I go.
Hey, Chappelle, have a good time while you're in Philly, man. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah. Guys, thank you. This is amazing.
Chappelle Lacey, guys. Yeah. Kind of audio was breaking up a little bit on him, but super nice guy. And Nick had pulled up his Instagram account, and he had a while back posted a Throwback Thursday video of him with the competitive cheerleading. Steve, not only is he doing backflips and stuff, he does this jump up in the air where he does splits. And when I say his legs, they don't just go out flat, they go up.
Holy hell.
Toe touch.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
How can somebody that big and muscular as him
do that?
Be that flexible? That's crazy.
And not rip your sack in half.
I'm looking at this. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to say 45-degree angles that his legs go up, but definitely, like, in that 25-degree range. Unbelievable.
Crazy.
Can you do a case?
No. Okay. No, never.
Unbelievable.
No.
It's unbelievable.
But, like, you know, I taught myself how to do back handsprings when I was little, but I could never, ever do the that was a straddle.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Wait, I taught myself
the new Stallone cheer movie.
I had to do the back handspring too, Case.
I
used to pull the mattress off of my bed and do it in my bedroom.
Oh, what? Is that it? The practice? Yeah.
Kathy, I
can do a hurt.
I did. I used to bring the couch cushions outside and put them outside of my house. And because I also wanted to do, like, the jump and flip off of the wall. you know? So I had to do that.
We could probably do a whole segment on what all you did with couch cushions, because we used to use them as my friend Tim and Matt's house. We would play hockey in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we would take the couch cushions and take belts and strap them on our legs, and those were your pads. If you were in goal,
that was it.
If you were the goaltender, that was it. And we would use like a full on puck,
or
a hard street puck or something like that. And the couch cushions were what we used.
When we had our like little kid bed with like the single mattress, we used to pull that off when we got a little older and we were a little stronger, and we used to ride it down the stairs.
Yes. Yeah. You know what's good for that, too, is the clothes hamper or the clothes basket. Yeah.
Laundry basket?
You got to be careful, though, because they go fast.
Basically, you're in the Olympics for bobsledding at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also, if it catches one step, it will launch you off.
Well, and we had the front door was at the bottom of the stairs, so we would go crashing into the door.
Yeah, we had our back sliding glass door right there. And, like, I mean, come on, dude.
You're
flirting with death.
Yeah.
So what? We can do it.
We're kids. We're invincible.
Yeah. I have a caller on the line. I don't know what they want to talk about, but I'm going to go to them. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, my family.
It's been a while since...
How you doing, Preston?
I'm good, Gary. How are you?
I'm fine, young man. I just like to wish my number one girl, Kathy Sweet Tea Romano, the greatest mom in the world.
Oh.
Very, very, very happy Mother's Day. And that goes to for Rochelle, Diane, and
Marissa.
Hold on. Rochelle, Diane, and... Oh, my God. Oh, Rochelle, Diane, and... Claire!
Claire. Yeah.
She's
fur babies.
To fur babies.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then.
How you guys doing, man? I miss you guys.
Just keep going.
And Melissa.
Thanks, Gare.
You're the best mom, Marty. You're the best, Marty.
Marty.
Muddy.
Muddy.
It's Marty's day.
My good friends call me Marty.
I thought it was Marty. Yeah, okay.
So what's going on with you, Gary? What are you doing?
Well, I got my coronavirus shot last Thursday. Went to jury duty yesterday, and I'm about ready to get on with my new life.
Did you
jury
get
duty?
Picked?
Now, were you being picked, or were you the defendant?
No, man, stop! They sent me home with a $9 check.
Not bad.
So you didn't get picked to sit on a jury?
No, it was a waste of my time. I came home. All I made was $3. I couldn't even get a quarter.
I thought it was $9.
Let me.
It cost me $5 to get there and $1 to cash a check.
So that's how he broke.
Hey, Gary, did you stay in the selection or in the waiting room all morning long? Or
as soon as I walked in the Criminal Justice Center, Presbo,
they said, "Get out of here."
The cop says, "What are you here for, jury duty?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Go to that man." He says, "You've been formally excused for today. We have a jury been picked." I said, "You're kidding me." I said, "I got up at 6 o'clock to be down here by 8 o'clock, and now you're sending me home."
I can't imagine what lawyer would not want you in the jury.
Oh, man. I'll be a great lawyer.
Yeah.
great lawyer.
Oh.
Going to
lawyer,
law school.
Defendant, whatever.
No, you know,
lawyer, defendant, whatever.
Prosecutor, Supreme Court justice.
I would love. Okay, Gary, that's going to be our next skit. It's going to be you in A Few Good Men.
Yes.
Hey,
barrister.
By the way, Kath, is Dennis taking you out for Mother's Day, honey?
You know, we're going to my brother's house.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
honey.
Having a barbecue or what?
I'm not sure.
Well, just make sure you get Gary the address.
Yeah. You guys have ribs over there?
Yeah. Well, look, I'll definitely see you at the barbecue, but I hope it's sooner than not later.
Well, we hope so as well.
No, the barbecue?
No, the barbecue.
Yeah,
I know where he's parked.
You know where he does.
Yeah, I'm sure he waits for us.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows.
And you got plans for your beautiful wife, Rochelle Preston?
Actually, Gary, I'm going to visit my mother.
Oh, that's right. You're going to St. Louis.
Not St. Louis. I'm going to Florida, but...
Florida.
My mom lives in Florida, but yeah, she's in a rehab facility because she broke a couple of ribs about a week and a half ago, unfortunately. But I'm going to go visit her. But, you know, we'll come back and spend some time with Rochelle. Maybe you can take care of her while I'm gone.
I'm a great caregiver, Preston.
I know.
Anyway, do you need those massages?
I hope your mom's okay, and I hope you enjoy your visit with your mother.
I appreciate it.
It's good to hear from you, Gary.
Yeah.
Well, I love you, so I was wondering if you could play that song by the OJs. I always love my mama.
No, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, we will hum it in a commercial break.
No, but we will play the Mr. T song.
Yes,
Mother,
we need to.
There is no other.
Yeah.
Which I think is perfect for
Mother's
Day.
Thank you for having me. I've truly missed my family. And you guys are the effing greatest, man.
Thank you, man.
Gary. All right, have a good weekend, buddy.
Yeah. You have a better one with your mom, Preston.
Thanks, buddy. All right, Gary Lauer.
He's a nice guy.
He's the one and only.
All right.
Yeah,
he is.
Oh, Gary!
I was thinking about him the other day. I don't know why. I think I was...
I had three testicles.
No, maybe that was it. No, it's, I think just the... Just the phrase, I got my jam back, was in my head.
Yeah.
For some reason, random, you know, clips or things that we play will pop up in my head and then they'll stick there for the day. And it was, I got my jam back.
It's great to hear those.
Was stuck there for a little while. You know, actually, I'm glad Gary called in because if we have a couple of minutes.
Just a couple.
Right. I do want to acknowledge Mother's Day.
Yes.
And would like to play a little bit of the Mr. Yeah, here we go.
There is no other.
Mother. Treat her right.
And mother. So treat her right.
Treat her right.
Mother, I always love her. My mother. So treat her right.
Treat her right.
M is for the moan and the miserable groan from the pain that you...
I don't know if you've ever made it this far into the song.
No. Well, when I was born, O is for the oven with the burning heat. Where she stood making sure I had something to eat.
Sucking her feet.
Ew!
Pee on the street, yeah. And then suck on her feet.
Wow.
I saw a, not to go off on a tangent, I know we're doing the mother thing here, but I saw a couple of guys assessing at the time that he was, you know, Mr. T and he was Clubber Lang, you know, and then you had Van Damme and you had all these other people of the time who were these, you know, movie martial artists and all this stuff. And the members of this group who were all martial artists and stuntmen and all that stuff said, pound for pound, if there had been a fight at that time, they would have put their money on Mr. T because he had had more real world. He had won
the bouncer
competition like 3 years in a row.
Yep.
So he had all those tricks and stuff in his deal.
Bouncers are some of the toughest guys out there because they're getting in real world.
Yeah.
Skirmishes, altercations, and it happens a lot.
I was surprised to hear these guys because, and they're like, and the guy who was conducting the thing said, "Yeah, I guess that does make sense."
Yeah, and this was if he would have been in a fight with who?
With the people of the time where he was the period of around Clubber Lang, Rocky III, right. Your Van Damme's, your
those
movie martial art. Yeah.
Oh, I firmly believe that. Even though those guys were trained at sport fighting and so on. Yeah. This guy was grabbing people who had knives and bottles and were tough, drunk muscle people and tossing them out. And, he's the real deal, man.
Mothers, we were talking
mothers,
about.
Mothers, I only have... What is this? Is this what Gary requested?
No. Oh, okay. This is Lunch Money Lewis, Preston.
Lunch Money Lewis?
I don't know. My son likes this song.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of Lunch Money Lewis. Okay.
Well, now you have.
All right, thank you. I only have we don't have much time, but Steve sent me a list of the worst moms in history.
Yes.
Actual mothers?
Actual mothers.
Yeah, real stories, but I'm not going to be able to go through all of them, but maybe I can get a couple of them real quick. Like an example they give is Mary Ball Washington, George Washington's mother.
Apparently.
What?
And she made a couple lists, was a lunatic.
Yeah, she had been a miserable mom, it says here, while he was working day in and night to keep the revolution alive. While it was hanging by a thread, she was bad-mouthing the American cause to anyone who would listen. In fact, French military officers stationed in Virginia, where she lived, claimed that she was an outright loyalist to King George III.
Ma!
That's George.
Ma! Will you see what I'm trying to do?
And despite enjoying a comfortable lifestyle, George had bought her, the king, a very nice house, which still stands in Fredericksburg. Or no, George Washington had it. Yeah. I'm sorry, not King George. She whined about being poor and consistently hounded Virginia's legislature for what we know today as welfare support claiming that she was destitute.
Even though she was wealthy.
Yeah.
Ma!
And she embarrassed George all the way to the presidency, whereupon she died at age 80. And it says here she even looked like George in drag. You know what? I'm looking at a portrait of her. She does.
She's effing horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here's one.
Your mother looks good.
Here's one that you and I know the story of, Steve. Ma Barker.
Yes.
Donnie Barker. She made the FBI's public enemies list during the notorious 1930s crime wave. J. Edgar Hoover called her the most vicious, dangerous, and resourceful criminal brain of the last decade.
She was ruthless.
And she turned crime into the family business. Her sons, Herman, Lloyd, Fred, and Arthur Barker, became criminals the minute they got out of diapers. Murder, car theft, kidnapping, armed robbery, bank holdups, the boys did it all, and Ma was right there with them. Things came to an abrupt end in a rented rural Florida hideout in January 1935, A shootout with FBI agents straight out of a gangster movie ended with Ma and Fred going down in a hail of bullets, and a Thompson machine gun was found by their side.
And there were some fresh cookies on the table.
She was a criminal, but she kind of sounds like a nice mom. She brought the boys into the family business.
Let's
look at the let's look at the bonding side of things.
Right.
Here.
She wanted to.
Yeah.
Relate to her kids.
She was basically procreating to have a mob.
Yeah.
By the way, their bodies, and this was back in the 30s, their bodies were put on public display.
Mm. Oh, wow. Those were the days.
And then they stored unclaimed for 8 months until poor relatives scraped up the cash to bury them.
8 months later?
So they were...
Yeah. Oddly enough, visitation to the exhibition died down after the first 3 months.
They were a little gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
And
don't go in there.
They were buried next to Herman, who had shot himself 8 years earlier to avoid capture after a bungled bank robbery.
Herman!
And then I'll have time just to do one more. Mary Ann Cotton. Not familiar, but she came up on a couple of lists,
yes,
too,
she
Steve.
Did.
She was in the UK, and because this 19th century nurse, dressmaker, and housekeeper had a secret hobby. She would poison and kill people. She killed... 11 of her 13 children.
She killed 11 of her 13 kids.
All four of her husbands, two lovers, and two other people.
Huh.
All for their insurance money, apparently.
I'm sorry, I just like poisoning people.
And arsenic was her murder weapon of choice. She racked up a body count of 21 before Scotland Yard finally caught up with her. The London Times reported after conviction, the wretched woman exhibited strong emotion, but this gave place in a few hours to her habitual cold, reserved demeanor. She harbors a strong conviction that royal clemency will be extended towards her. But that didn't happen.
No.
When Marianne Cotton was hanged in 1873, she died not from her neck breaking, which was what they would usually do. They'd have it so the rope would be long enough to where it would snap your neck and it would be a quick death. But she died by strangulation caused by the rope being cut too short, possibly deliberately. They wanted her to suffer.
To suffer.
Yeah. A bad ending for a truly bad mom.
It's crazy.
So
we always hear the good stuff, and there's been a few stinkers in the lot.
Yeah, maybe this is, mom isn't your favorite person. Maybe this will give you some
maybe you'll save on that yellow rose from Steven Singer.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right, and that's our Mother's Day observation here on the President's Day Show. But listen, maybe you love your mom, and there was a great mom, and that is Peg. Eggs with Peg was named after her at Keenan. She was the head of the Keenan brood. And I have a 4-pack of tickets. If you can make it to the Eggs with Peg party in North Wildwood, it is Friday, May 28th. It's officially opening of the Jersey Shore. Starts at 8 a.m., so you got to be there early. We'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Brent Porsche will be there on location to check in with us. We will virtually kick the shore season in with them. A Memorial Day weekend, and Keenan's at 113 North Wildwood, Jersey Avenue, North Wildwood is there for you. And it's brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Tickets are on sale Monday at 10 a.m. You can click events at WMMR.com. For complete details, you can visit the Keenan's Facebook page, and the proceeds benefit John R. Elliott Hero Campaign for designated drivers. So did I say caller number 10?
12.
Caller number 12, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to take a break. We'll be back when we return. Bizarre File, The Money Word, Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction. All of that coming up next.
Rock Breakdown with Sarah hits on the casting of Pete Davidson as Joey Ramone in the upcoming Netflix biopic and Weezer's venture into vacuums, plus some updates to the Preston and Steve ringtone repertoire for your phone, and why Brett Michaels preferred Slash over CC DeVille as guitarist for Poison.
All right, we got cash coming up. We have a guest coming up. But before any of that, we need to do this.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Horizon. Get Horizon Services AC tune-up for just $49, plus a heater tune-up this fall for only $39. Call now or visit horizonservices.com for details. 1 second.
Broccoli.
I got a little something in my throat here. Okay, so this is level of boredom extreme. A man named Gareth Wilde lives in London. In 2015, he began a six-year quest to park in all 211 spots of his local supermarket parking lot.
Come on.
And he even used a spreadsheet to track his progress.
All right.
He took to Twitter to reveal the completion of his mission and included diagrams of the superstore's parking lot for anyone in the area who might want to recreate his feat.
So all 211 available spots.
Yep.
Could he have just gone when the store was closed? Or
he didn't want to do that.
Okay.
He wanted to do it while he was legitimately going to the grocery
all
store.
Right.
And sometimes, well, I'll explain the story. So on his Twitter thread, which now has been liked more than 50,000 times, probably even more since the story came out, he explained that handicapped and motorcycle spaces couldn't be counted as he cannot use either of them. So he had a total of 211 spaces that he could access. He said the task led him to dub 11 spots the God tier or best spots and 29 as the worst. And he also noted that some spots were nearly impossible to get and required him to take a few extra late evening trips to the store, which wasn't far from his home. So he didn't just pull into a spot, pull out, and go into another one. And then it was like each trip he took.
So he would only do it if he actually was going to the store, or would he do it only when the store hours were in effect?
I think only when he was actually going to the store.
Wow.
And so sometimes he would make sure that his trip to the store that day would be at night when he could grab these coveted spot.
Wow, yeah, you'd have to be,
because it took 6 years.
Yeah, and also you're if you go, you got to beat employees in and everything.
Yep. Yeah. So that's his thing. You do you,
yes,
as you said before. The town of Noto in Ishikawa received millions of yen to do the due to the impact of COVID-19. The money was part of a rural revitalization project to help the countryside in the wake of the virus. In Japan, the local government would decide how to spend the money, such as infection countermeasures or money to help close businesses. But Noto, this town, is known for squid. And around 25 million yen of the funds were set aside for a huge squid monument to entice tourists to visit the area once the pandemic is over.
So there... idea of money best spent was on this gigantic squid statue.
That is exactly correct, Steve.
All right.
The pandemic is not over.
You hear me out.
Some of the country's most metropolitan areas are currently under a state of emergency, but they decided to build a giant squid.
I hear what you're saying, but we have a huge squid statue.
It is 29 and a half feet across, 13 feet high, and over 42 feet long.
Look at it. It's a beautiful.
The total cost of the project was 27 million yen.
Yeah.
There have been questions
among
locals over whether this was necessary or even an effective way.
Your face is necessary.
To do PR for Noto. But that's what they did, and the squid statue is now there.
Well, that said, it is actually pretty cool looking.
It is kind of cool looking. A battle over a disco ball has a Jonesboro man facing residential burglary and robbery charges. Rodney Thomas was arrested in connection with an incident at a home. Police said that officers went to the home after getting a call about an assault with a head injury. A victim states that Rodney Thomas approached him about a disco ball that he had purchased from Thomas for $20.
Yeah, I'll buy that disco ball.
But he was wanting it back, and the victim refused, and Thomas pushed him back into the apartment. Police said a person who was with Thomas then assaulted the victim. The victim had broken ribs and a cut to his head after the assault. Thomas and the other person, who was not named, then left.
Disco ball, disco ball. I want my disco ball back.
Thomas also faces a misdemeanor theft charge in the case. A $10,000 bond was set for Thomas over the disco ball.
You know how you get with your... there's a disco ball that you find and you love. It's hard to part with it.
As part of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's new measure to protect the state's ecosystem from 16 high-risk invasive reptiles, Floridians now must microchip their pet iguanas.
Ah.
And also their Argentine black and white tegu.
It seems like an obvious.
So you have to now tag them on tag days. They declared that the pet iguanas and
You're an iguana.
Argentine black and white tegus, two commonplace pets for reptile lovers, have to be monitored by the government of Florida.
So this is it's getting crazy down there, man. Especially like with the snakes and stuff.
Because iguanas and Argentine black and white tegus are not native animals to Florida's wildlife, Their release of the population in the wild are a threat to the Florida ecosystem.
Now go do that tegu that you do so well.
I guess it's pronounced tegu. It may be tegu. I'm not 100% sure. Florida's home to 500 non-native species that, if not adequately watched, are harmful to the existing environment. You mentioned the pythons. They're out of control, too. So, but they're going to have you chip your iguanas and tegus. Let's see here. This is pretty funny. Police were called to Ardmore Tea Room in Halifax, Nova Scotia early Thursday morning after someone called in a report that someone was dining indoors at the facility in violation of the COVID-19 lockdown rules. Mike Cormier owns the tea room and says that he saw the officer looking through the window at a mannequin sitting at a table and says he went out to speak with the officer to confirm that the caller had mistaken the mannequin for a human customer. Cormier posted about the incident on Instagram, writing, "Please don't call the police on us. We're only open for takeout and delivery, not eat-in. She's a mannequin to help with our social distancing." And there you go. That is all I have in the bizarre file for you now. All right. It's time. It's 10 o'clock. Let's do this thing.
93.3 WMMR. It's time for a Preston and Steve money clip.
I gotta go to the bathroom, Daddy.
Now, here's your money clip keyword.
All right, the word is pay. Three letters, that's it, P-A-Y. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do it. You can text to the special contest short code number 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, just enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And one random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. That person will get a call from our company, Beasley, so make sure that you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com. And it is sponsored by Hyundai City. And the word again is pay, P-A-Y. So get on it. Like I said, you have until 15 minutes after the hour. Good luck to you. We've been mentioning all morning long, tickets for the MMRBQ go on sale right now. It is exactly 10 a.m.
Yeah.
You can get your tickets. The lawn seats start at just $25. And we want you to get on board because we want you to be there for all of the bands and all the activities that are taking place. We're going to have Aaron Jones, who we just played, Dorothy, Mammoth, Wolfgang Van Halen's band, Mammoth, yeah. He will be there. Dirty Honey, Cheap Trick, The Offspring, and the band that this gentleman is in, who is joining us right now. We're so excited to have Jane's Addiction on the bill.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've seen them before. I saw them at the Spectrum ages ago.
Amazing, right?
Blew me out of the water. One of my favorite shows in that building of all time. Please welcome Mr. Dave Navarro.
Yay!
Our show today. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. That's a very nice welcome.
It's our pleasure, man. Like I said, yeah, I've seen you guys before. I know the kind of energetic show that you bring. And that, you know, you guys get the audience in on the party. You make it happen. And it's been a while since we've partied, Dave, so big expectations.
It's been a while. Yeah. Well, big expectations for me, too. I got to tell you, the other night, you know, L.A. is starting to open up and have indoor eating and dining and things like that. And I went to a restaurant the other night, and it was overwhelming. Just people and noise and things going on and plates being dropped. And then I thought forward to our show coming up in September. I was like, man, I'm not even prepared to be in a restaurant.
But you
know what I mean? Like, what is it going to be like walking out onto like a festival audience with you guys? But I'm excited to do it, man. It's been a long time. So,
well, the way that
pretty psyched.
The way it's progressing is that so the show is at, you know, it's at the end of September. So again, everyone's sort of feeling their way. It's like the cobwebs are lifting and the doors are opening and everyone's looking above ground. And by that time, I think we're going to be in a nice swing of things. But I can't think of a better scenario, especially since it'll be a little bit cooler in September.
Yeah.
You know, the roster's great. And Preston's seen you guys a number of times. And I've always wanted to see Jane's Addiction. And this is, people are freaking out.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for that. Hey. Yeah. I'm also super excited to see Wolfgang Band.
Yes.
Yeah. We've been talking quite a bit about that, David. I want to get your take on this because.
Yeah,
the music that we've heard so far, very impressive. He had a lot to live up to, and that's another thing. And I'm hoping for the best because not only is he a young musician trying to make his way, but I need somebody to carry on that Eddie
legacy.
The mantle? Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a tremendous amount of pressure on him. I assume. I'm sure he's gladly going to take this on, but you know, it's got to be a weird position to be in.
Yeah, I would imagine the best thing for him is to acknowledge that and be aware of it, but to just do his own thing, man. Yeah. He's his own human being, and like he's got his direction musically. And from what I've seen, it is very different than Van Halen. It's a little bit more, more modern rock, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's fantastic. And you know, I want to see him. I want to check out the band. And I'm going to do everything in my power to not tell him how much your dad meant to me.
Right? It's hard, though, right?
You know, it's going to be impossible, but you know how hard that's going to be to not do. But, I hope the best for him. And I typically don't get to, when we do these festival shows, I typically don't get to them early. But I'm definitely going to come down and check out Wolfie and I'll probably check out Cheap Trick too, because Xander's a friend and I played with him a bunch of times. And a weird side note for me is that I think the first concert I ever went to was Cheap Trick opening up for Kiss.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so to be on the same bill with them as Cheap Trick and as Jane's Addiction is a pretty big deal for me, just in terms of like, you know, having a little personal clash with my own history, I suppose.
Well, Dave, I have to tell you, I had my upper thigh felt at a backyard a barbecue to a Cheap Trick song in the 70s. So, yes,
I don't know that we can top that experience. For you.
I mean, that was good.
Hey, Dave, at least you had that.
I wanted to ask, you know, with the length of time it's been since musicians have had a chance to do live shows. I mean, you can pick up the guitar and you can play it, and you can keep your chops going, you know, just doing a little rehearsing here and there and writing whatever you may be doing. But is there a difference between being, you know, keeping the instrument fresh and being on stage? Or do you have to get your stage legs together, essentially, is what I'm asking?
I mean, I think, I don't know. We've been doing it for so long. And, you know, believe it or not, Jane's Addiction has historically taken years off, years of hiatuses. And so, yeah, we're just coming out of COVID, and yeah, it's been a while since we've been on stage, but we are ironically very used to getting back together after years of not doing it. So hopefully we are experienced in trying to make it look seamless once we get back on the stage. But usually when the first downbeat happens and Perry gets into his trip, it's pretty easy to get lost in that environment and just kind of go back to second nature.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, a lot of these songs have been with us for 30 years, you know, so it should be pretty seamless.
Well, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt. Dave Grohl has this special coming out about the van life, evolutionary period of a band. Was that you guys? Was that Jane's? Were you guys doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We our first tour was in a van with the entire band and the one crew member that we had and all of our gear in a U-Haul behind us, and like literally taking turns driving and just freezing and sick and hating each other and in close quarters. And when you do get to a motel, you all share a room. Like it was, you know, the early days were rough stuff.
Well, I was surprised to find out when Dave is mentioning when Nevermind came out, this album is out. It's starting to hit. They're still in a van traveling to shows. It is, you know, this is a groundbreaking record. This is huge. This is rock and roll history right here. And they're still driving around a van. When Nothing Shocking, were you guys still doing the van thing when that came out?
I know that we had a couple of tiers. Okay. So we went from a van to what we thought was a great idea, which was a Winnebago.
Okay.
So it wasn't quite a bus. It was a Winnebago. It was literally like a mobile home. And we broke out a window. One of the side windows got shattered somehow. So we were literally touring around the East Coast in the dead of winter.
Oh, no.
With just freezing cold 75 mile an hour wind just wafting through the Winnebago.
Did you try to tape up like a trash bag or something?
Well, you try everything. And we just we just sat there and like dealt with it. But I think that, you know, I think there's something to be said about those old days that like we really I don't know that we would be the same band without them. You know, we really had to I mean, there were gigs. We were putting in vans, and we'd pull up to the club, and we would load out and load in our own gear ourselves. So it would be like a Jane's Addiction show. Thank you, good night, and then start winding up cables and putting guitars in cases and trying to push your amp off the stage to get ready for the next band.
I really appreciate
having had those experiences. As much as I would never want to do them again, I think they really taught us how to be a band.
I was in my 20s. I was a band guy. I'm a drummer. And so just a couple of last year, I was like, I got together with some guys. We created a cover band, and we went out and we played some gigs. And I tell you what, Dave, on that first night, at 3 o'clock in the morning, when we're putting the last bit of crap back into the van, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking, man? This sucks. Yeah. You know?
It's a little different when you're 17 and you're pushing stuff in.
Totally,
you
know what I mean? Right.
Like, right now, like, my lower spine cannot handle
it's just not going to happen.
Dave, we're able to Zoom with you right now, and looking over your shoulder, is that a cuckoo clock up on the wall? And if so, what's the story behind that?
Actually, there's probably 12 of them in this house. I collect them.
That's cool.
it's just a weird thing. And, you know, cuckoo clocks, when I was a kid, that was like in cartoons, that was the symbol of crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if someone was crazy, you'd see a little cuckoo or a bird would come out. And I just kind of came with this whole embracing. I do a company called Dual Diagnosis, which is it's an art / clothing company that's geared at lifting the stigma of mental health issues.
Right.
And, you know, there's a whole story behind the cuckoo. I don't know if you know about it, but if you look inside that box, it's all complicated gears and springs and coils and wires. And there's this little bird that's trapped in there. It can't fly out because it's held down by these weights.
Yeah.
You see the weights that hang down?
Right.
Which could be, you know, it's emotional baggage, for instance. And so until it drops that baggage, it can't fly and reach its full potential.
Wow.
And it's locked in this confusing box that's making it crazy. So, I collect them, and then we also use them artistically throughout the Dual Diagnosis company. That's spelled D-U-A-L Diagnosis. And we DualDiagnosis.com.
Well, I never realized there were so many metaphors attached to a cuckoo clock. But I think
that I invented them. But they work.
But that's good. I can completely see that because I'm fascinated by little mechanisms and the the artistry of that stuff, animatronic things, and all of that. Have you yourself ever designed a cuckoo clock?
I designed what I called a cuckoo clock wristwatch. Was when I took that clock and I duct taped it on my arm.
Okay, like, that counts.
This is a crazy watch, but I'm not a tinkerer. For instance, I love watches. I love components. I love things that work like that. But I mean, these things, you know, they're kind of genius, and the implications, like the humorous implications that they contain are kind of funny, and you just don't see them anymore. But if you look around my house, like, I think there's one over there.
Yeah.
There's one there. There's one on the other side. So there's like 15 of them in here. That's but cool. The best part is that they're all set at different times.
Yeah.
So throughout the day, just a different bird is coming out.
That's great.
And it will literally drive you insane.
Also, I mean,
if you're not insane already, put up 5 cuckoo clocks.
Yeah, you know, my sister's actually obsessed with cuckoo clocks as well, but she does not have one. Maybe that is a good gift for me to get for her.
It's a great gift, and they you know they make them battery operated now, but the ones that are really special are the ones that are handmade, that use the actual weight system to have the time tell time. And even the pendulum has to be hung at the right length. Otherwise, it's going to either tick too fast or too slow.
Okay.
So they're very complicated things, but they are interesting to be obsessed with.
I completely get it. Yeah.
Not expect to be talking about those.
Well, I'm sure you're not going to expect to talk about this either. Are you wearing a Snuggie right now?
No, right now I am wearing a it's like a hooded cape. This is like for outdoors life.
Oh, okay,
ceremonial,
cool.
ceremonial outdoor life. And it happens to be 7 a.m. here in LA, and I just happen to be freezing. But I will tell you this, I am not opposed to a straight up snuggie. Yeah.
No, why would you be? Dave, who would you say between you and Perry, you guys are artists to the core.
Yeah.
Who's a little more quirky in their personality? Is it you or Perry?
We both have a lot of, I guess, independent thought, I would say. Mm-hmm. And but I would say that, Perry, just because being a frontman of a band like this and having to have that sensibility and be on every night and deliver every night, like I get to turn around and hide behind the guitar and like get lost in my instrument, mm-hmm. which I love, you know, because I did a solo tour in 2000. And I just came to learn that I didn't love it. I didn't love leading the band. I didn't love being the lead singer. I didn't love the eyes. I didn't love the pressure. And Perry can do that really well. And he, in fact, loves it. So I would say that there is a component to his personality that allows him to be that extroverted on stage and do it with authority and conviction. So I don't know if I would say he's more quirky, but I would say that he has what it takes to front a band.
Yeah.
You know, better than most, I would say. And I think along with that kind of mentality, you've got to have some walls down, you know, to allow yourself to be that raw in front of people.
Totally.
And while at the same time having certain walls up, you know, so that's, I think it's a microcosm of some kind of very strange dance that goes into being a lead singer. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the best frontmen that have been around in the past 30 years.
Is it hard speaking to that point about, because you let a lot of you out, you know, with your love of the tattoos and artistry and the cuckoo clocks and things, mm-hmm. things that are part of you. Yeah. Is it hard when you are in the public eye the way you are, and you're talking about Perry being more up front and being the front man, but you are a personality, you are a pop culture personality. Is it hard to know, I'm going to keep this just for me, you know? Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Where you're not always revealing stuff about you.
Oh, no. I mean, things that I like and things that are interesting to me aren't really revealing anything. And right. Those aren't like personal, deep personal issues that I, whether or not I like cuckoo clocks, I better keep right. that to myself, or I feel exposed.
It's too personal.
Like I don't feel exposed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I've also taken it upon myself and, years ago, like I wrote a book and I put out a documentary that were about very difficult things in my life. And I think that the intention and hopefully the joy of that was to help others feel less alone that were in similar situations, right. whether it's grief or trauma or drug addiction or any of the things that I've been through. You know, it's I like to share with people that there's an alternative way, you know, and yeah. that it is possible to get past that stuff. And even though the demon of addictive behavior may be with you for your life, it's about channeling that addictive behavior into an area that can be healthy for you.
Well, yeah, so, I'm sober for 9+ years at this point, and I just nice. Know that it was important for me to see and interact with people who were living a sober life, a happy and content sober life. But then there were also other people that, you know, like musicians, Trey Anastasio being one of them. I'm a fish head. You know, he had been sober for a couple of years at that point. When I saw, I'm like, okay, here's somebody that's doing it. And I was able to gain strength through them. And so when you do that and you're outspoken about whatever struggles that you have gone through, there are people out there that really do hold on to that and gravitate towards that.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I would say is that, you know, the company I'm running, Dual Diagnosis, is all about mental health. I put out a book that was about my drug addiction. I put out a film that was about my mom's death. You know, it does resonate with a lot of people sometimes, you know, if they've got similar circumstances. But, you know, at the same time, I'm not a doctor. And so yeah. those people will come to me personally and say, I'm going through this and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, look, I already told you what I went through and how I dealt with it, but I can't advise, you know, like a doctor would. Like, I don't know what to tell you. That's, you know, you need to find a team of your own. But I think that that's not the tough part. I think I don't really think there is a tough part to it. I think that as long as you're comfortable with who you are and what you've been through, and that, you know, behaviors can change.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's all we're doing. Like, I may not be doing drugs anymore, but, you know, now I'm in line at 1 a.m. at GameStop waiting for the next thing to come.
Dude, out. All right. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly, you know what I mean? That is the right way to think about it. We all have the same doctor. He's kind of he's on TV in here in Philadelphia. And he says, if I have to, I will write you a prescription for a video game. Because that's the stuff. To get that joy of something that doesn't have, you know, like you say, you're not smoking crack. You know, this is something you're
into. Something that's not going to kill you.
Exactly. Yeah. That you can get passionate. Like, I love living through other people's passions, and it excites me to revisit my own. Your cuckoo clock thing, or just the different things you talk about, you know, that to me is something that people, they sometimes seem reticent to allow themselves. Well, it's just crazy. Should I really collect that, or is that do it? You know, because we just don't think that way a lot of times.
Well, ultimately, we're all here for very, you know, however long we're here, and we are ultimately going to dissolve into the universe or some whatever happens.
Right.
So, like, yeah, do what you love as long as it's not hurting anybody else or yourself. Yep. Like, there's really, you know, that this life was given to us for us to enjoy.
Yeah,
And I really feel strongly about that. And frankly, one of the things that I enjoy about life most is being able to perform with this band, and like to come out and do that with you guys is what is that? The 25th, September 25th. I'm super pumped about that, you know, and that's, you know, I wouldn't be able to do that had I stayed on the path I was on.
Right.
So it's all to me. It's all, you know, this, I'm in the bonus round.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
I unlocked the little part of the game that allowed me to play in another room.
Yes.
I'm into it.
Dave, we're all excited about that as well. I wanted to ask, so every Tuesday we do a thing. It's called Tattoo Tuesday, and we give away a free tattoo every single Tuesday. And as a result, I mean, we used to do it here in the studio, and as a result, we've had several contestants and winners of Ink Master in our studio actually administering tattoo, which is really cool. Is Ink Master coming back to Paramount Plus by any chance? Do you know?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I heard that they were picking it up. That was the last I heard of it. The only thing that I can assume from not hearing anything is that they're rebooting it with a new cast. That's all I know.
That's all you know? All right.
I mean, in fact, I don't even know that because there's been very little dialogue. So I hear that Paramount Plus is going to pick it up. I guess they started a new streaming service.
Yep.
And but I don't know. But I will tell you what's very funny about that is that Ink Master was a show that, I mean, it was on 10 years ago. I mean, it's hard to believe it was a decade ago that started. And we did 13 seasons. And then during the pandemic, Paramount sold a couple of seasons to Netflix. So now it's on Netflix, but these are old episodes.
Right.
But what that did was that opened us up to a whole new audience that had never seen us. And I started getting messages from people who were angry at me for certain people who got sent home 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, they thought, he was the one. Like, how dare you?
I'm
like,
oh, my God.
Josh. I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's great.
But people get very passionate about that. I hope that when you give out tattoos, is there one artist that you use, or is there a resident artist? Or
yeah.
There's a shop.
Yeah, we have one shop, several artists within that shop. And there's a guy named Troy here who is he's a big name in the tattoo industry in Philadelphia. Actually, he is responsible for a lot of the tattoo conventions all across the country.
Yep.
So he has a lot of guys that, and he's also super generous. So
do they get to decide what they are getting, or does it have to be a WMMR?
They have to include on the throat. They have to include us in there somewhere, and it can even be very, very subtle. That's all that we ask. So,
right.
Yeah. That's nice.
I'll add the rabbit in the Playboy cover. It can be very discreet. So
some are more subtle.
You
want to
know something funny about this? Do you see this?
Oh, yeah. That's the Playboy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a quick story. I was doing an interview with Hugh Hefner. And Hugh Hefner was talking about how the bunny, well, first of all, it started out, it was a stag. It was supposed to be a cartoon of a stag.
Right.
That makes sense. the night before the release, he couldn't sleep. And he got up in the middle of the night and called the designer and said, I hate the stag. You got to come up with something else. So they scrambled at all hours of the night and landed on this bunny, which then became the most iconic thing, in terms of branding.
Wow. Huge.
And he went ahead to tell me that it is probably the number one most tattooed logo of all time.
The Playboy bunny.
I believe it.
Wow. Yeah.
And so at that moment, I said, has anybody in the history of tattooing this bunny asked you for permission? And he said, no, actually, nobody's ever asked. And I said, well, then let me be the first. Is it okay with you if I get the bunny tattooed? And he said, absolutely. So I have the one and only Hugh Hefner sanctioned.
Wow.
Like, I wouldn't have gotten this otherwise. But the fact that, I mean, like, but the fact that Hugh sanctioned it and gave me the okay, and it's the only one that exists that's like that. That's pretty special.
That's awesome.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Excellent. Dave, we're really excited. Not only that you guys are playing the show, but that you took the time to join us on the program this morning. We really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, man. I'm looking forward to being out there. And are you guys going to be at the show?
Oh yes.
Absolutely. I would not miss your guys' set. So
we'll come back and say hello.
Okay.
You?
For sure. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dave. We'll see you in September. Dave Navarro.
Yeah.
How about it? Wow. He's awesome. Super nice guy, and I bet you he could point to every single tattoo and tell a story like that as well.
But you're playing right here. I remember, Preston, when I first heard this song, I was like, what's
Whoa!
That?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah. I remember the video was weird and not typical of what was on MTV at the time. You know that I didn't want to ask him too much because I didn't want to go to the downer thing, but his mother was murdered.
Yeah.
When he was 15 years old. His mother and her friend were both murdered.
By her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend.
And it kind of, that's kind of where his drug and alcohol addiction started to take roots.
And he said he wrote a book about that.
Yeah. A movie about his mom. Well, he wrote a book about his addiction.
They found him, the murderer, I guess he was on the lam after the murders, through America's Most Wanted.
No kidding.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Fascinating guy. Super nice guy.
I think we just became best friends with him.
I think we did. Yep. let's give away some tickets to the MMR. How about that? Caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. They are yours.
We will become best friends.
Yep. We will give you a pair of tickets to the MMRBQ, which are on sale now.
Yes.
Right? So go get them and get yourself set to be a part of this party if you're interested in winning some free tickets, other than being caller number 20 right now. We're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets and also a grand prize of pit tickets for some randomly chosen people through the MMR website if you're a VIP and opt in for the email. So get on that. You might win. We're going to take
housekeeping.
We're going to take a break. And when we return, I think we're doing, trash music news, all that stuff. Last question. Yep, we'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Friday, no sad bro, Friday morning. We better move along because we haven't even done the trash and music news or anything. It's almost 10:40. So let's ask our lesson question, and we will give away a $50 Rita's gift card for the correct answer to this. I think I have to go with this one for sure. How does Bill Gates get from Seattle to the Outer Banks? What does he take? what does he take? He created this thing. 215-263-WMMR.
Let's see if you know the answer. How does Bill Gates get from Seattle to the Outer Banks? You have to know the name of this thing. 215-263-WMMR. We'll do the trash while you call in here.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. You can start each morning with a hot, fresh cup of Royal Farms coffee. And it's made one cup at a time from the finest coffee beans in the world and freshly ground just seconds before serving. What's up this morning, Steve?
Well, celebrity, auctioneer Dan Dotson of Storage Wars had his finger bitten off while intervening in a fight between two of his French bulldogs. Dotson says he's doing fine, but says his wife has had to pick a new finger.
Oh!
Brody Jenner admitting his ex-wife Caitlin Carter's lesbian fling with Miley Cyrus was, quote, gnarly. Brody says that in many ways it was like walking in on your significant other in bed with a garbage can.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Tiger King's Joe Exotic, his ex-husband John Finley, claiming his marriage to the Netflix star and another man was fake. And that he did it for the show. Finley observed that if you want to work in Hollywood, you always, they say you need to say you can ride a horse and be willing to let a tiger collector violate your ass.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's your Hollywood track.
All righty. We shall see if somebody has the answer to this question. How does Bill Gates get from Seattle to the Outer Banks?
No way. I
got to go to the first caller in. Okay. So I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Where's the sausage?
Yeah. Mike, what's the name of that thing that he takes?
The vaginal.
The vaginal, yes. Hang on a second, Mike. Hold on. I want to go to this other call. I've never done this before. Is this really who I think it is? Hello?
Ooh, talk dirty to me.
No, it's not. Oh, man. Okay. It says Ann Gorski.
Could be.
I thought you would tip me if I put my name as Ann Gorski.
you played it well, sir. Yeah.
You were the second caller in. Had you been the first, I would have gone to you. Thank you.
I can take that my Mark ticket.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Gorski. Take care. All right. So for Mike, we're going to give. That's what Nick was knowing about. He saw the name Ann Gorski on there. We're going to give a $50 Rita's gift card, and Nickelodeon Slime is available all month long at Rita's. You can slime your favorite treats only at Rita's, but you better hurry because slime is only available through May 30th. Yes, Casey.
So I just wanted to make an acknowledgement here because the reason I was playing this music, and I played this music all week long, is because a week ago today we lost an amazing bassist, Tony Markalis, who's a bassist for the Trainostasio band. He passed away. I don't know exactly how he passed away, but I just loved to listen to him play. So I was able to sneak his music in, you know, through winning music all week long. But that's all. I just wanted to acknowledge his passing.
Okay. All right. We'll do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by Coors Pure, an organic light beer that is refreshingly simple. You can go to contest at WMMR.com for a chance to win $500 and a quiz to reveal your organic personality from Coors Pure. Try it today. Okay, so six strands of Kurt Cobain's hair are now up for auction as part of Icon Auctions, the amazing music auction.
Yes, I'm interested in purchasing those six strands. I said six strands.
How many?
Six strands.
The auction also includes personally owned, staged, used, or signed.
Stage seen six strands of someone's hair.
Stage used or signed musical memorabilia from Cobain and Nirvana, as well as the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, and Led Zeppelin.
There are actually people who have extensive hair collections, strands of people's hair throughout history. There was a documentary on this guy. I mean, like crazy.
I believe it.
I never think of that.
You guys have... Preston, you have your children's hair, like their first lock of hair from their first haircut or whatever?
Maybe. We kept their teeth, which is weird because you're keeping human teeth.
Yeah, I know. I got a bag of teeth.
I know. But I don't know. We may have. I wasn't in charge of that.
It's not that weird.
That's a thing.
We had the story about Posh Spice. Beckham's wife keeps.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's like a bucket full of teeth. She must be hitting him out with a hammer, but it's
Well, so... The Tooth Fairy was nice enough to give them back to us, right? So the Tooth Fairy collected them and then gave them back to us. But I don't know what
for a reduced price.
I don't know what we're going to do with them. But I still have
lock of hair from when I was a baby.
My mother's thing was to cut one finger off all of us and just keep that.
Same finger?
Yeah, the pinky finger, okay. Like the Yakuza.
Sure, yeah. In a statement, Iconic Auction said this one-of-a-kind artifact is eternally fresh to market, entirely fresh to market, and is accompanied by an impeccable lineage of provenance, including photos of Kurt posing with a woman who cut his hair, scissors in hand, and a fantastic shot of the hair actually being cut. They said the lucky friend who trimmed the Nirvana frontman's iconic blonde locks was an early confidant, Tessa Osborne, who cut his hair in 1989, well prior to the Nevermind breakthrough. While on the Bleach tour, Tessa presented the original lock to Seattle artist Nicole DiPolo as a heartfelt gift after Kurt's passing, and she provided the original bag with handwritten provenance note as well.
Would you ever buy something like that or collect something like that?
Maybe.
I
know it would be way too much.
I have Hayden Rourke, who played Dr. Bellows. I have a used condom of his displayed on I Dream a Genie. He played Dr. Bellows.
Calling Dr. Bellows?
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Right over my fireplace.
I'm sorry. It was Calling Dr. Bombay. Yeah. I was thinking of Bewitched.
Sorry. Dr. Bellows was I Dream a Genie.
Okay, I got you. I remember. Well, good luck with that.
It's beautiful.
I hope it appreciates the value.
I have accent lights pointing up at it.
The family.
Well, the guy who played Dr. Bellows was a fan of contraception, and that was one of his condoms.
Huh. The family of Chris Cornell and a doctor who they alleged over-prescribed him drugs before he died have agreed to settle a lawsuit. Court documents filed by Vicky Cornell and their children, Tony and Christopher, said a confidential settlement had been reached. The Cornell family alleged in the lawsuit filed in 2018 that the medication, especially the anti-anxiety drug lorazepam, prescribed by Dr. Robert Coblin, led to erratic behavior from Chris before his death.
I was looking at this, and that seems a staggeringly excessive amount of medication to be giving him. Am I correct?
I don't. That's what they claim. Yeah. I haven't seen the amounts myself, so I don't know, Steve.
I mean, I don't know, but it seemed to be a lot.
Investigators in Michigan ruled Cornell's death suicide by hanging, but tests showed the presence of lorazepam, better known by the brand name Ativan, in his system, along with barbiturates and the anti-opiate drug naloxone, but did not cite them as a factor in his death. But they've reached a settlement nonetheless.
How many stories? There are a number of stories. Elvis had a doctor, Michael Jackson had a doctor that did the same thing. Brian Wilson, These doctors that are in their lives that are basically the equivalent of like medical star effers, and then just give them. You know what I'm saying?
I
Michael had bottles of propofol.
Here's the deal, though. This guy hasn't been cited by legal authorities,
right?
So
I don't know.
And I've heard things from the Vicky Cornell camp or read that I'm like, you know, I don't know.
You got to let it play out in court.
Yeah.
If there is a court involved.
But nonetheless, so they settled maybe just to get this done and over with. But they have, the doctor has obviously denied that this was anything that he was doing. They have denied any wrongdoing or responsibility for the death. But nonetheless, they reached the settlement.
For what it's worth, I take Ativan occasionally and... it's prescribed in smaller doses. I'm not taking 940 over 20 months. So don't be necessarily afraid of that drug itself. It can do...
Right.
It can really help with anxiety.
If you take... They say take about 1,000 every 2 months.
Don't say that. Yeah. No. Don't
yeah,
do that.
No, that to me... So I'm right in assuming that is a...
That seemed like a lot.
That's... perhaps if you're a raging Indian elephant, that might be your...
What was he taking? How much?
He was taking 940 doses over the period of 20 months.
So dear God.
A long period of time, but... in smaller doses, Ativan can be very helpful.
900 and some odd doses in 20 months.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do the math, but that's a lot.
That's 4,200 a day.
A day?
Yeah.
Wow. My math is way off.
All right. I'm bad at math. Just like you.
So, if that is indeed the case, then, Steve, I guess so. But I wasn't aware of the numbers. Out today is You and Me, the debut solo album from Heart's Nancy Wilson. The album was recorded at the guitarist's home studio in California with guests contributing remotely. In addition to the new original tunes, Wilson teams up with Sammy Hagar for a new take on Simon and Garfunkel's The Boxer, along with covering Pearl Jam's Daughter, Bruce Springsteen's The Rising, and The Cranberries' Dreams, featuring Liv Warfield, best known for her work with the Prince and the New Power Generation, and Wilson's side band Roadcase Royale.
We had a clip of Ann Wilson singing She's just turned 70, I think, and belting on some Zeppelin. I don't know if we still have it in the system case, but
well,
it was...
we have this daughter song, yeah,
okay, yeah.
From Nancy Wilson
with. What song is this, do you know?
This is Daughter.
Oh,
Daughter.
Daughter. Okay. This is a cover of a Daughter.
Alone, listless, breakfast table in an otherwise empty room. A young girl, violent, in the center of her own attention. The mother reads aloud.
That's a weird little
it's
piano
almost
part in the
Twilight Zone-y.
Haunting, yeah. To make her proud.
The shades go down. It's
okay.
In
wow.
Her head. Painted room. There's something wrong. Don't call me
huh. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it there.
So Hart was a part of that Seattle Vancouver music scene, and so therefore she's in tight with like Jerry Cantrell
and MacReady,
all those guys. Yeah, yeah.
I saw them open for Pearl Jam 1 year.
No kidding.
Hart did, yeah, and they were great. They came out and did "Rockin' in the Free World" together at the end.
Okay.
And then I believe Eddie Vedder did a cover of Crazy on You. As a thank you.
Crazy. Duff McKagan and Taylor Hawkins are featured on the album's song called...
Barracuda.
Party at the Angel Ballroom with Wilson paying tribute to Eddie Van Halen on a title track or a song titled For Edward. So that's cool. Everybody lending a hand with her.
They've always had substantial credibility. I mean, yeah. They were, some people tried to dismiss them early on, but I think they're kind of royalty at this point, right?
They were legit, man. I mean, they were the first real female rockers, you know, so, and they could back it up without question. Let me see one last thing. Live Nation has already...
That's it.
I'm sorry. Live Nation has already booked twice as many shows for next year as it did for all of 2019.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to have concert overload in 2022.
Well, we knew this. We knew basically it was basically a seesaw. And
all those tours that had to be pushed back, and then you have everybody else who was not
preparing,
announced, but getting ready to tour, and they all want to do it.
I'm completely fine with it.
Yeah. Only you're going to lose. You're going to spend a lot of money in 2022. So Live Nation CEO Michael Rapinoe had previewed the PAC 2022 concert calendar during a call with investors on Thursday. Thanks to the upward trajectory of COVID vaccinations, especially here in the U.S., Live Nation is increasingly confident in the return of live music. And sooner rather than later, to that point, the company has already confirmed several significant tours for 2021, including Dave Matthews, Megadeth, Brad Paisley, Chris Stapleton, as well as festival dates for Bonnaroo, Rolling Loud, the Electric Daisy Carnival, and, of course, the MMRBQ, where tickets went on sale this morning.
Hey, just real quick, going back doing the math, it's not that much. I did it, and I was wrong. It's only about one and a half a day.
Insane.
940 over 20 months isn't that bad. So just wanted to correct that.
All right. Thank you. It sounded like a lot.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot.
So my math was off by a factor of 40,000.
Yeah, something like that, right. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in Stella! Music News. That call means it's time to give away a case of Stella Artois. Did anybody hear that?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
There it is again.
Across the mountains.
We'll take callers number 12 and 13, and we will give you a case of Stella Artois.
Stella!
Your table is ready in the life of Artois, and we'll see you soon for Stella Artois draft at Tavola's Restaurant and Bar at the Springfield Country Club in Delaware County, which is open to the public daily for lunch, dinner, and outdoor dining. So we'll take those callers now, and we'll give those to you. We're going to break, come back. We'll give away the Word of the Week prize when we return, so make sure you stay with us. Mark, how you doing, bud?
93.3 WMMR presents...
Doing well.
Why you doing so well?
I won $500.
Oh, sweet mother of God!
Press
Preston and Steve's Money Clips.
What happened?
I won $500.
Cuckoo, ka-choo, magoo.
Your shot at stuffing $500 in your Money Clip weekdays, up to 7 times a day.
Enjoy the $500 and think of me when you're spending it.
I'm going to buy some more beer, I know that.
I can smell it from here.
See official rules and details at WMMR.com.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you again, sir.
Sponsored by Hyundai City, South Jersey's official Hyundai headquarters.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate you being there.
93.3 WMMR.
I appreciate you guys.
Everything that rocks.
Yay, yes. We are returning now because it's 11 o'clock already.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we had a really awesome, super long, great conversation with Dave Navarro, so that pushed us back a tad bit. So I think he can forgive us. And if you missed it earlier, it'll be up on podcast. I'm sure there'll be a video because we were Zooming with him, and he was cool with us filming all of that.
And probably a series.
Maybe a series. Yeah. It could have been, man. I mean, he's just an easy guy to talk to.
He is great.
And, man, was he excited about coming to, he said it multiple times, not just to get back and play, but to play this show in particular,
yeah,
the MMRBQ.
And to see the other artists, yeah, which I thought was very cool.
Really interested in seeing Wolfgang Van Halen.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So thank you to him, and also thanks to Chappelle Lacey, who was on. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow.
He was great.
And then we started off with Holt McElhaney, who is from the show Mindhunter and a bunch of other stuff. I love him in that character, in that show as the character Bill Tench. But he's going to be in the movie Wrath of Man, which is in theaters today, by the way. Theaters.
Yes.
Mind you, is where you will
with
see that.
Popcorn.
Yeah. All the things that come along. Hello, Pierre.
Hi there.
Nice to see you.
Very nice to see you. I like how his first Dave Navarro's first concert was Cheap Trick opening for Kiss.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Really good.
And he's excited that Cheap Trick's going to be on this on this lineup.
Well, great conversation with him.
Thanks,
great
man.
Conversation.
All right. I know people are waiting for this. Let's do the letter.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
P as in Petunia.
Ah, Petunia. So we'll take caller number 6 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will give you the prize that I have right here if you have that very special word in your caller number 6, 215-263-WMMR. That is indeed the number. So go ahead and give us a call right about now. What's up in your world, man?
Well, we will, over the course of the day, have big fun with more opportunities, noon and 2 for the Money Clips, and Jackson, 4 and 6, also this afternoon. Don't forget that. I think we have a hockey game tonight, so I don't know that we're doing the money thing tonight. And I think Bam Bam's, you call it Friday night, is built around the hockey game, which means you'll get about 20 minutes.
Okay.
But it's 20 minutes worth listening to whenever it does come on.
Yeah.
Great show. Last week, he played Anthrax into Willie Nelson.
What Willie Nelson song?
He has two hours.
It's a two-hour show.
What time would he start? What time is that?
The games usually end at
10. So we're playing the Seattle Seymours tonight.
Yes, the Seattle Seymours.
And we're going to kick their ass around the damn field. I told them defense,
man.
What
scores goals?
Yep.
Knock out some hairs and brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Defense wins championships.
Yeah.
Only
if their hair is combed and their teeth are brushed.
Who do you think wrote that?
Who are you talking to, boy?
Right. No, I'm just quoting him. Quoting him back to him.
I would never date you.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go to the phones and see if we can get our winner. We are looking for caller number 6. It's Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hey, what's going on?
Yo, Jim, we're looking for a word. What is it?
It's cheap.
Great cookie in the cookie cutter.
Great cookie in the cookie cutter. Jim is a winner. And, Jim, I hope you're going to love this. I know I would. It is from Revivalist Spirits. We have a bottle of their Botanical Gym, which is Equinox Expression.
Yes.
Their pre-made lavender lemonade, which is fantastic. And one of my favorites, their Resurgent Young American Bourbon. And we'll give you a $50 gift card to the Brandywine Branch Bistro right there at the distillery.
Wow.
All right, buddy?
That's great, man.
Excellent. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll get your information in just a moment. Don't forget, Revivalist Spirits voted Top Craft Gin Distillery by USA Today. You can order online for free delivery anywhere in Pennsylvania with the purchase of two bottles or more. Revivalistspirits.com. Must be 21 years of age or older. Let me take anything else you need to hit.
Well, we're just going to do a giant workforce block of Emma Barbecue bands.
Ooh. Excellent.
Starting at noon, it'll just be all Emma Barbecue for an hour and a half or so.
Great.
Okay. So love it, man. Fun. All right, let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought today by Rita's Water Ice. Come get Nickelodeon Slime on your favorite treats at Rita's all month long. Also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And Meineke for tires, brakes, batteries, exhaust systems, and more. Meineke, doing car care right. Next week on our program, we have a bunch of things coming up, including Josh and Sam from Greta Van Fleet.
Isn't that cool?
We will continue on getting you hyped for the MMRBQ. So, yeah, you've talked to those guys before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. They were in the studio with me. They're great fun.
Excellent. So we'll get to them and more stuff next week. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend and an early happy Mother's Day to all the moms. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
WMMR. Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the Bap-Bap-Choo-Da-Bap-Toop-Bap-Bap-Ba-Doo-Ga-Ga-Bap-Ba-Dap.
Dream job.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.